104.4 FM. Bigot Radio. Radio. I can't believe it. The way you look sometimes, like a trampled flag on a city street. Oh yeah. And I don't want it. The things you're offering me, civilized barcode, quick ID. Oh yeah. 'Cause I'm a 21st century digital.
Listening to Bigot Radio with your host, Jeremy McKenzie.
Burn it all down. Blow it all up.
Keep the car running, have the evidence in front of their eyes. The heat of
Bigot Radio.
Right with your fucking cheese in your mouth and everything. Eating cheese right in front of me now.
Bigot Radio.
Everybody,
keep an eye on them. They're not good people, Phil. They're not. They're gross. Everybody, and welcome back. It's Friday. Fucking make me. The 15th of April. At least in Canada, we have the small mercy of the election bullshit being very brief, very quick, ugly, messy, retarded, confusing, and just overall a very quick, dirty, nasty, bad time. It's kind of probably how Anita Polyev remembers most of her children being conceived. I'm all discombobulated. I took a long time to get in here. My bad. Sort of my bad. I also blame India. I do blame India for producing Indians and sending them here and occupying and being part of the workforce, because they're not improving it at all. They're causing a lot of problems. How are you guys doing? What's up? It's the end of the week again. Here we are. We're all still alive. That's good. That's a good thing, I think. Are we? Yeah, some people are blaming the Jews. Well, I mean, how did they get here though, right? The Indians didn't get here on their own, did they? They don't know how to do that. They live in a filth pile, and generally just they can't sanitation, electricity, hygiene. I saw a video the other day of a guy, I don't know why he went there. Brave guy, doing the Lord's work. You want to check out the river? He looks over the side and it's just a trash. He's like, that, it doesn't look like a river, but it is. There's supposedly water under there. It's the dirtiest thing you've ever seen. India is the dirtiest place. It's got to be the dirtiest place on earth. I was in Afghanistan when it was the poorest country in the world, and it was pretty dirty. But compared to what I've seen, it doesn't hold a candle. Afghanistan was just regular poor. Like regular, poor, disheveled, you know, any dump of a country that, you know, that's kind of what you'd expect. I've been to several of them in my career in the military, but India, you'd have to try hard to be that dirty. I think you have to work at it. I think you have to go out of your way. I saw a hilarious, post I shared on Telegram from someone. It said they worked at a Fortune 100 company. It sounded like in Manhattan somewhere. And they just have Indians shitting all over they basically had to designate them their own bathroom, and it's so bad. It looks like the inside of a horror movie. There's feces on the walls and the ceiling. There's just an inch of shitty toilet water on the floor. There's refuse everywhere, debris, and it just, like, so a little mini India inside, I don't know, probably the Goldman Sachs building or who knows what it is. Or where it is, but I'm glad that they experienced that. There's two kinds of people in Canada and in probably America, and it's two kinds of people in the West. There's people that have experienced Indians and people that have not yet experienced Indians. That's it. That's really all there is, at least as far as that goes. How are you guys doing? I got to get further away from the screen. I don't want to be too close to the screen. I feel like it's melting my head. Yeah, back here is better. I should be way back here. Way back. Yeah, this is better. I can lean back in the chair, but now I look too small. I don't like that either. Good people. There we are. I'm going to make sure this is done. You can keep an eye on entropy this time because it likes to just deactivate for some reason. I don't know why that is or why that keeps happening. I suspect nonsense. They canceled my YouTube channel. I didn't use it for anything. I created some playlists that I use for, music and things for exercise or follow some different channels, mostly the boxing stuff and things like that. And they're like, nope. Repeated violations. What violations are those? Okay, fuck it. All right, I'll just make another one. Someone suggested I should get the fake glasses with the mustache and the nose and everything, and I'll just wear that. I think I'm going to wear that. I'm going to take that with me to the Liberal campaign event at the end of the month here. I'm going to go talk to... Listen, Darren Fisher, I'm, not too impressed with some of the things you've been saying and doing. And as my local representative in the House of Commons, you're going to listen to them. You're going to hear what I have to say. And I'm just going to confront you in public sometime in the near future. Could be tomorrow. Could be next week. It'll be before the election. I just want him to know that you should live in fear of that. You should be worried that I could be around any corner. There'll be someone with a phone and a camera, and then it's going to be too late. You're not going to be able to say that your dog died this time. There was a debate, I guess, this evening around 7:30 locally at a church. The conservative representative didn't go because I don't think they're allowed to. They're really mailing it in. I don't think they're trying very hard, which is kind of a concern. But it was the Liberals, a PPC, and I think an NDP candidate, and a Libertarian candidate who wasn't allowed to talk for some reason, because that's just how this place is. Morgan went, though, and when she got up to go try to talk to Darren, he literally ran away. He ran away. It's on camera. He ran away. He ran away from Morgan. She's very frightening. Very scared. She's 102 pounds. Careful. 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 You don't want to get tangled up with that little bitch. I'm gonna cut you. Gonna get cut up by little bitch. As soon as he saw her, he said, oh, they're telling me I have to go. Like, they are telling you? Who's telling? There was like 50 people here. No one talked to you. You don't have an earpiece in. What are you talking about? And then as he ran away, someone else said, oh, his dog died. Like, what are you? That hopefully that footage will be out shortly. One of Morgan's pals has that. So just a warm up, We'll just try to send in the and see if he would. Morgan's a lot friendlier and generous to talk to than I might be. And he just ran away. So that's how it is around here. Okay, I'll get him. I'll corner him. See how he reacts. He's just a dumb old fat guy, like they all are. They're all just install, replace. They're like light bulbs, burned out light bulbs, actually. You just paint them red, blue, green, whatever, and you just put them in there and say, I'm running for that. Just read the lines. Just shut up and read the lines, fathead. All right. Smile, take the picture. Yeah, put it on the sign. There, go. That's it. That's all I got to do. Oh, I'm supposed to release a statement. No, just wait. Our people will draft something for you. They'll put it on your social media. You don't have to do anything, Darren. Don't worry about it. Just keep making shit up. Just keep making shit up. He was trying to champion his commitment and, work with the veteran community. And like, really? Because I know a lot of veterans and none of them like you, Darren. Maybe that's what I'll do. Hey, boys. There's an idea. Because I could go by myself, but it might be better. Maybe we'll get 10, 12 guys. We'll just throw our trinkets on and we'll just go corner Darren and see what the fuck his problem is. Since he likes to invoke our name so much. so he can stand on the graves of our dead for his political career, which is quite common. I mean, it's nothing new. I've been doing this for almost 7 years now. It's hard to hate anybody more than a politician. I don't think there's anything less honorable and sincere than a politician. I don't think there's anything worse in the world to be. And you could say, oh, you know, human traffickers and pedophiles. Yeah, but that's often also politicians all the time. You know, the liberals all like to they keep throwing up this photo as if. Well, they know that you're stupid, right? I was going to say they think you're stupid. Well, they know most of the Canadian public is stupid. They are. And they'll just say, oh, yeah, that's the daggone people in Pierre. They're fucking weeby. I'm the biggest conservative critic in the country. I'm better at it. I'm more correct. I'm more efficient and more punishing than everyone that the left has. There's nobody on the left that comes anywhere close to putting the beatings on the conservatives that I have done. I went there to troll him. That was mostly the media, because it's fun to watch them act like hysterical retards. And it was the beginning of the end of Rachel's career, and some other people ended up getting in some doo-doo over that. But they'll say, oh, you're in a picture of them. It's funny, the Liberal Party. You want to talk about photos and who's in what photos with whom? It's weird, because like your guy is in the photo with the world's most prolific child sex trafficker of all time, Ghislaine Maxwell. So it's just an odd strategic choice to point out photos of people that are taken with whom, as if that's, you know, some kind of gotcha, when you're hanging out on the beach with Dracula. So there's that. So am I saying Mark Carney fucks kids? I don't know that that's true. Is it possible? It's certainly much more likely than any average person in the world, because he's apparently besties and pals, close associates, with the head of the biggest child sex trafficking operation in world history. So just, you know, by association, odds are much more likely, potentially, he would be, that he would, that he does, that he has, etc. It's much more likely. If I was pictured with El Chapo, is it an outrageous leap to say maybe I'm involved in the cocaine cartel in some capacity? That I have some, you know? No, I don't think anybody would find that a crazy leap. So, but in this case, you know, but you can't talk sense into any of these people, because they don't want to be educated. They're not trying to understand what's true, and they're just trying to beat you. They're just trying to beat you at any cost. It doesn't matter what's true. It doesn't matter what's real. You could show them. You could play a video on TV in front of the entire country of Mark Carney abusing a 9-year-old, and his supporters wouldn't even blink. They wouldn't care. They would create excuses. They would find ways and reasons. The same way that the Trump people do for their guy. The same way everybody does when they play for their team. They get in on their team, and then all of a sudden, none of it matters. Yeah, there's. What do you mean? What app do I want to use to open the photo? The same one I always use, computer. The same one we always use, right? So, right. It's like, oh, look at that. Yes, well, maybe not that. Yes, look at that. That's from years ago, and that was just, you know, it was a troll. Right, but again, you and Maxwell, right? Let's see if I can just find that quickly. I'm just going to Google Carney Maxwell. Oh, there's a different photo. Oh, there's multiple photos. There she is there. That's not even the same one I was looking for. So there's one. There's a different one. Like, oh, that's fake. Oh, that's fake. Is that one fake too? Is that one fake? That is her. That's her. There's him. There's her. There they are. What the fuck? Oh, Pierre, talk to it. Shut up. Shut up, child fucker. Shut up, child fucker. Cambie says, unfortunately, what's the meat What the meat bees produce is attracting MPs who are missing out on Christian's mayo like drippings. It's disgusting. We're going to need Phil to handle this. He doesn't want anything to do with that. No one anywhere does. Blackmail photos. It's not even blackmail. They're just above it. They know that people are too stupid and won't care. They've been getting away with this forever, man. This has been around a long time, this kind of stuff. There was a guy... I'm really digging now through my memory to try and remember this stuff. Gunderson, if I remember correctly. I think his name was Ted Gunderson, FBI. He was kind of in line to be the guy at the FBI, or at least one of them. He was kind of, I think he was in charge of like California or some large area like this of the FBI, like a regional director. And he was kind of on a short list to be like, there was only like 10 people above him in the 20 tops in the FBI, something like this, right? So he's a fairly senior guy. And he came out and said something like, yeah, there's a lot of that going on. There's a lot of people child fucking and compromising our state officials and public figures and powerful people and so on to blackmail them with this. And it's extensive. It's everywhere. Government agencies are involved. A rogue element of the CIA is kidnapping people. It's called the Finders. When I first heard about this stuff, I thought it was, you know, schizo conspiracy. This is like 2011, 12, right? I'm like, oh, well, that's not really it. Unfortunately, it is. Yeah, it's very well documented. There's a lot that went on there. I think old Ted ended up suicided or murdered or something, as most people do. But anyway, the point is, you know, oh, if that was true and if somebody had proof and it was credible and said it to the public, everybody would freak out. No, they wouldn't. They would do nothing because numerous people have done it in the past. Julian Assange has revealed things. Edward Snowden has. It doesn't matter. All they will do is grumble and kick rocks and put their hands in their pockets and go, oh, freaking bad guys. Yeah, because without any effort, without any organized effort to fight them back, it's just complaining. And they don't mind if you complain. You're allowed to complain when they whip you. You're allowed to go, ow! But that's it. If you try and catch the whip and rip the whip out of the guy's hand and then hit him back with it, well, now you're a dead man. You can't do that. But you can complain. You can whine. They let you do a lot of that. But anybody trying to organize anything or, no, that's not allowed at all. Ah! All right. What do we got? What's going on here? So, yeah, Morgan chased him out of the event. Isn't that fun? I hope we get to see some of that soon. I'm going to try to suffer through this. I didn't get to eat anything. I'm hungry. I got nothing to eat. I'm supposed to eat. Didn't get to eat because Jeets. And, I mean, that's my own fault. To even think that they'd be reliable enough to handle something like that was my own fault. But whatever. I'll just not eat tonight. That's fine. And then probably go out of my way to cause as much problems for these people as possible. They steal. That's what they do. What they often do in these companies, and it's not just me. I have friends that have businesses, a couple, in fact, that rely on delivery services for their business. And what they've noticed, as I've noticed, as many people have noticed, is what they do is if it's food especially, they will take a really long time on purpose, to which the customers often refund, cancel, and whatever, and then they get to keep the food for free. They just make it up. They just say, oh, sorry, I can't. And if they're not caught spitting in the food, which some have done and caught them on camera and reported to the police, they're like, what do you want me to do about it? Right, because they're brown and you can't do anything to them, right? You only fuck with white people, right? Because you're the cops now. The British are doing that. They've got a lot of crap over there. They're repurposing their police to be the Stasi, to be the anti-white Stasi. That's the entire purpose of the British police force now. So if you're a cop in Britain, fuck you. Fuck you sincerely. I hope that you die. I hope that you die. If I woke up tomorrow and there was 100 dead cops in Britain, I would say, excellent. Good. Do you know why? Because in war, like we are currently in. This is fifth generation of warfare. It's not like in the movies. There's not beach stormings and bombs. There's no need for now. We can win. They have been winning just purely by manipulation of the mind alone, which is what fifth generational warfare is. And people are getting killed over it, like the Southport stabbings of all those little girls and kids. And, I mean, the laundry list of terrorist attacks that have occurred in the last decade or two as a result of these policies. And the police, rather than perform their duties, they do what the politicians tell them to do. And they acquiesce and they submit to being political police. So they've decided to protect their own interests, their careers, and their livelihoods, and their safety, and all of that, at the expense of the British people who are dying, being murdered, being killed, being trafficked, being abducted, being robbed, being raped. So they can protect themselves. So you see, in this new age conflict we're in, people are dying. People are getting, and it's just, you know, the people, the British people, the Canadian people, the American people, Austin Metcalf. It's every day, all the time. And, you know, that's how it is. That's war. And if you're in it, then if it has to happen, it's going to happen. Well, then shouldn't the bad guys, shouldn't the enemy be the ones that suffers the casualties? So if they did, that would be great. 100 dead British cops would be pretty funny to me. I would laugh. I would celebrate. I would get a beer and drink it on the stream. I have no sympathy for you people. None. You're arresting people for Facebook posts and tweets about migrants stabbing children, and you don't do anything to protect the children. You can't. They're chopping people up and selling them as kebabs. You remember that? That's nice. The Rotherham rape gangs, which again never happened, wasn't real, but was very real and went on for quite a long time in dozens of cities across the UK. This isn't a new thing. This has been happening. And now they're being formally trained to, you know, focus their efforts. Their main primary focus is, you know, white supremacy, which translates to white people that are upset that they're being killed in their own homes. That's what white supremacy means to the police. So if that's what you believe, if you're, I'm going to join that. I want to join the British police so I can enforce political policy on the people of the country. I mean, not protect them, not prevent crime, not provide safety. No, that's not the priority. The priority is political suppression of dissent. And that's what you've chosen to do. You've actively, consciously, willingly, voluntarily taken an antagonist position against the British people as a police officer. So again, fuck you, die. I would enjoy it, as would most of the people in Britain at this point, I think. I don't think anybody would miss you. Lock up some more 12-year-olds, Bubby! And it's coming to Canada. This is what Mark Carney and the Liberals have planned for this country. Just you wait. You think it's bad there now? You'll get your own taste, Canada, very soon. Give it 6 months. You'll see. You're going to like it. You might even love it. Six-one-three guys says an Indian eatery is also known as a jeetery. That's also the descriptive word to just kind of define Indian activity in general. Jeetery. It's just jeeteries. They're jeeting over here. They're jeeting over there. They jeet it all up and down the walls. It's just jeetery everywhere. It's jeeted right up. Maximum jeet. Justice for Father says Fiverr for Phil. Thank you very much, sir. And Stiegel, Stevie, says after pushing snow around for 40 days in a row, I've come upon a certain observation. The reason why they are developing AI-driven vehicles is so that we, the Canadian men, are gone. The roads will still be clear for an Indian man to swerve in the opposing lane of traffic and murder what's left of us. Cheers, laddie. Yeah, isn't that the truth? pretty sad state of affairs, Phil. If I was in the UK, they would arrest me for saying that. I would go to jail for saying that. And they would, you know, be lenient on a mass murderer. But we're built back better. It's the new normal. It's good. And most of them are, half of them seem to be women. Half the British police seem to be women. So, like, let's be honest, guys. They're not even fit. They're not even capable of doing any real policing anymore. All they're really capable of is policing people that will not resist them at all. They will not fight, but they know that. That's why they go after white people. This reminds me of a thought that Blair Cottrell had from Australia a little while ago. He's exactly right. He's a big fella. He used to be a bouncer. And I've heard several other guys I know, big fellas that also, you know, had similar jobs, describe that this is, you know, what the police are doing. It makes sense in like a nightclub establishment or something, you know, just keep business going. Not so much from a law enforcement perspective. But in that line of work, what you're supposed to do, if there's any kind of conflict, you remove the easiest person to remove. Not who's right, not who's wrong, not who started it, none of that. Just end the problem and let's get back to making money. So the establishment can keep that's their job, right? And that's what the police are doing. So there's a conflict. The native people of the country, the British, the Irish, the Australians, the Canadians, the Swedes are in a conflict with the, what word do we want to use, guys? You don't want to use newcomers. That's gay. You don't want to use, I don't even like migrants anymore because it's, they're basically just invading. I don't know. The unwanted hordes are in conflict with the ethnic population. And what are the police doing? Well, they'll just target the easier party to deal with, which is whitey. They're not going to go shoot up the police station. They're not going to go blow up the mayor's house. They're not going to kidnap a city councilor and behead them on YouTube to a jihad soundtrack. They're not going to do any of those things. The other side will do those things. So they go after you. They go after whitey. Because it's easier. Period. That's the truth. I don't care what they say. Well, they say, I don't care what they say. I know what's real. They can lie if they want. That's what's happening. None of them have the guts. If there was ever a time, no one should be holding out hope for law enforcement anywhere. Anywhere. That's all done. That's all over. In previous years, certainly before COVID, there was always kind of an underlying, a lot of them from these cowards in law enforcement themselves, perpetuating this myth, so not real, so not true, was that, if it ever got bad enough, they would make sure and they would stand up and we'd roll over like a little bitch, which is exactly what you did. It's exactly what you did. Your own governments turned on your citizens and your populace. And you did exactly what you were told. And the very few, the courageous, heroic few in the security forces, police, and so on, that did oppose and push back at all. Well, they were all terminated and punished, reprimanded, had demoted. In some way, they were bludgeoned and beaten if they weren't thrown out of the institution entirely. So what we have now is an army of yes men. See, all of the people who would have pushed back, they're all gone now. Now the only people you have left in the police and the military and the security state and intelligence are yes men that do what they're told. None of those people are ever going to grow a spine. All of those guys have been purged, just like the Soviets. Just like the Soviets did when they took over. Make sure everyone's ideologically on the same page. You make sure there's no dissenters. There's nobody out of school not thinking the wrong things. So there should be no, there's no sympathy. I have no sympathy. I have no mercy. I don't care. They don't do their jobs. Morgan and I got circled by a fucking couple dozen of these freak shows, and you know, they watched it. They watched it happen for 20 minutes. And then I walked up because I knew they were, and I walked up and was like, what's going on? You like that? You get a good look at that? And they're like, oh, yeah, I heard there was something going on. They wouldn't look at me. They wouldn't talk to, they were looking away. One guy just asked, when are you leaving? I was like, uh-huh. Not who am I? Can I see some ID? What's good? Just want to know. They knew exactly what they were doing. Right? So in the future, I don't know when this will begin in earnest. It's kind of already bubbling up a little bit in some isolated incidents, but it's not going to stay that way. Could be 6 years, could be 6 months, could be 6 days. I don't know. When the flashpoint begins, it begins. But in the near future, when it does devolve into blood in the streets and civil unrest and in kind of like gang fighting and vigilantism and people are getting disappeared and abducted and all of that kind of stuff begins, I just, you know, it should be very clear that that's whose fault it is that we've come to this is the police themselves. You've failed to contain any of the problems or even challenge the problem. You won't even go anywhere near it. You just quietly put your hands in your pockets and look down at your feet and do what you're told and just get to Friday, get off work. Oh, my shift's over anyway. Pension, paycheck, promotion. Only a couple more years till I retire. Yeah. And look outside now. Now people can't get to, oh, look, there's 5,000 Palestinian protesters downtown. Assaulting people. Yeah, what were you supposed to do about it? What were you supposed to do about it today? What were you supposed to do about it a month ago, a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago? You're right, cop. What were you guys ever supposed to do about any of it? It's only your fucking job. I saw someone else. I don't know who the guy is. It was a clip on Facebook somewhere. You know, the doom scrolling. And he was referencing an open letter to Mark Carney by two retired, I think that's what their names are at the bottom, retired RCMP officers. I don't remember their names, but there's a Google Drive document floating around that has this 12 or 14 page thing. The letter is a couple pages long, and then there's another, you know, 7-8 pages of supporting documentation to references to the Canadian Criminal Code and so on and so forth to substantiate their allegations that the following people, in which many of them are named, Christian Freeland was one, Bill Blair was another, Mental Marco Mendicino was another, Liberal cabinet ministers are guilty of crimes. They're guilty of crimes. They're criminals, according to these two retired police officers. And this guy's reading it. But it's like, no one cares, though, guys. Right? Like, no one gives a shit what a retired cop thinks. I'm sorry. Sorry to break it to you. Nobody cares what a retired soldier thinks either. Nobody gives a fuck. Why didn't you do something about it when you weren't retired? Why aren't any of the non-retired police doing it? Your job is to arrest people for committing crimes, yes? Oh, look, the politicians are committing crimes. And where are you? What do you want us to do about it? Why are you telling Mark Carney about it? He's not the police. He's not the law. He doesn't arrest people. That's you, idiot. Open letter. Dear Dracula, we've noticed that you've been doing Dracula stuff. And we'd really like it if you'd stop doing that. Oh, sure. I'll get right on that, Sergeant. I appreciate the energy and the effort and everything, but that's not going to do a goddamn thing. How many crimes were committed by the Liberal government in the last 10 years? 8 years, 9 years, whatever it's been. Feels like 100, so my sense of time isn't totally accurate. A couple, right? Couple. So why the... Why are we even having this conversation? Right? You're useless. You don't do what you're supposed to do. You don't do your job. If you can't do your job on your worst day, if you can't fulfill the requirements in the worst case scenario, you cannot do the job. You are not a cop. You are not police. You're just a thug. You're just a very well-paid thug. Okay? In the military, especially the higher-end units, the ones that try to still maintain some semblance of professionalism in the rapidly eroding world we're in, and they're no different. They're suffering and falling apart as well, but at least back in my day, you don't test the troops for how they will perform under ideal circumstances. So how this relates to you as the police is like, oh, well, can you arrest a drunk guy who's not fighting back and does what he's told? Okay, great. You can be a cop now. No, that's nothing is required of that person. That is a very easy task. A tiny 5-foot woman, you're under arrest. Okay, and they go willingly. That's not, there's no need to test for that because it's not a challenge of any kind. Just like you don't need to test a bunch of, you know, special forces operators on if they can hit a target from 100 meters in the prone on a sunny day after a great lunch in the middle of June, sipping on a lemonade. That's not a test. What you do is you put them through the most difficult of circumstances that you can get away with legally in Canada that's not considered like ruthless abuse. And even then, it's a little borderline. For like a couple of weeks, you don't let them sleep. You don't, you know, you just run them into the, you try to kind of kill them a little bit, you know, for a few days. And then when they don't even know what's going on and they're exhausted and broken and then you start testing them when they're barely functioning. If they can do the job, then they can do the job because it doesn't get worse, you know, and that's what we can test and get away with here. Oftentimes, or sometimes, people find out they can't do it, even after all that. They get into it, and it's like, yeah, it's not something I would look forward to doing again. I'll tell you that. But, again, you're the cops. Should you be testing for that? Or should you be testing for, like, can you handle three people coming at you at once? Can you handle a full carload of people? Like, what can you... What's your limit? What should the standard be? What should the average police officer be expected to be able to do? Whatever it is, whatever the current standard is, it's not nearly high enough at all. You have no moral testing whatsoever, I don't think. I don't think. Because what's worse? What is worse? Is it worse to be some 24-year-old... shithead who's had a shitty upbringing and has been taught a lot of bad life skills, and really the only way he knows how to make his way in the world is to sell cocaine and hurt people and be a shithead? It's really all he knows how to do. Makes a few makes, you know, $8,000 a month. He's got a face tattoo. His name's Mickey. Cops don't mind busting Mickey, would they? Oh, that Mickey. We're going to get him. Hey, look. That's a politician that seems to be... I mean, their department can't find $200 billion. Is that theft? Is it fraud? Is it negligence? Is it embezzlement? We don't know. Because you didn't fucking investigate. You were busy chasing Mickey. So don't tell me you're the police, because you're not. The order of magnitude between these two examples are astronomical. How much harm did that cause? How many people is Mickey hurting? Dozens, maybe. Dozens, maybe even 100. What's losing $200 billion going to do? Like I said on Tuesday, a state-of-the-art hospital, best in the world, $2, $3, $4, $5 billion is really, really pushing it. $5 billion. We could get 10 of those hospitals, 10 of the best hospitals in the world, $50 billion. How about 20 of them? $100 million, $100 billion for the 20 of the world's top state-of-the-art hospitals you've ever seen. And then we still have $100 billion left. Well, $88 billion, I'm rounding up. $88 billion more? Well, gee, let's invest that in training and education. Let's make our own doctors and nurses and health professionals in this country right here to staff those brand new, beautiful state-of-the-art facilities, huh? How many lives could we save, do you think? Oh, look, we still have $17 billion left over to do. Well, let's just dump that into, I don't know, eye cancer research, for example. Maybe that'll yield some. Think of all of the collective good that could have achieved. That's what we have lost now because of Catherine McKenna. And the police see these things and go, get that guy with the face tattoo. Oh, look, CSIS is owned by the Chinese. Let's get this kid with the face tattoo. What's that? Foreign interference from other countries in our government. I would love to look into that, guys, but I've got a kid with a face tattoo down on Hastings Street in Vancouver, and I gotta get him. I gotta get him! We gotta tackle the real issues here. Keep the community safe. So the police are running around swatting flies while a Tyrannosaurus Rex stomps around the city, eating people and flipping over cars and punching its way through buildings at will. And they're saying, we are protecting people. You're a joke. You're an absolute joke. I don't know how you guys live with yourselves. I really don't. You might as well just pack it in. There's barely any of them as it is, and morale's in the toilet. I know that. You might as well just pack it in. This is my advice to the police. Everybody just quit. Just basically just stop working. I would just keep the resources and the material and everything and just form a gang, basically, and just kind of go rogue. Who's going to stop you? You're the police. There's no one, right? That's what I would do because why not? Nothing you're doing is actually going to yield a safer community. None of it is long-term, right? Oh, I got that guy off the street. Oh, did you get Mickey off the street? 5 more Mickeys have been produced in the amount of time you chased him down. The root of the problem is not anywhere you guys are. You're not anywhere near it. And I think that a lot of them know that. I'll leave the door open for that in case some of them do have a soul, right? And they're like, well, I mean, we would, I know, but, you know, there's reasons, there's politics, there's this, that. So you just don't have the guts is what you're saying. Whatever happened to police on guard? That's still a thing? How'd that work out? Oh, we'll just get a bunch of cops together in a coalition and we'll, and what? No one cares. No one cares. Do what? The reason no one cares is because no one out there has demonstrated the ability to actually do anything. Everybody wants to play it safe. They want to write petitions and write letters and start Facebook groups and, you know, oh, watch your language, guys. We got to, you want to stop the Tyrannosaurus with a petition. Gonna offer him a popsicle. Why don't you come down to our we're having a little thing in the park and we're doing face painting. There's sandwiches. Like crime. The overall security and criminal situation in Canada from like say 1970 till right now. Overall. Let's say the last 20 years for sure. 2005 to right now. How's that going? One lifetime, right? One life sentence. How do you guys think you're doing? How would you rate the performance of the police in the last 20 years? Overall, what is the plus or minus to our overall stat? Safety, security, crime, all that. Is it? What are we down to? 54 overall from a previous 62? Geez, we're not even passing anymore, are we? Soon we'll be into the 40s, the 30s. Like, so no one in the apparatus is trying to stop anything. They're all just taking turns eating. All right, my career's over. Your turn. Okay. Eat the money. Eat the money. Don't do what you're for. Just punch the clock, make the money, pension, paycheck, promotion. I've actually known a few guys who have quit, who were cops and quit because of this, because they were handcuffed and handicapped, and you weren't allowed to do this, you can't do that, you can't. So it's like, why the fuck this? Yeah, it's not an honorable institution. They get paid more in this country than I think we probably have some of the highest paid police on planet Earth. I think. Right out of school, brand new, nobody, nothing, constable in the RCMP is making six figures. Are you? You're not even a sergeant in the military. You don't even make that much anymore. Not even close. But, you know, brand new cherry cops do. And it goes all the way up, 200, 300 grand. They're real well paid, man. While they're doing a terrible fucking job. Terrible job. You guys ever sort out the Picton pig farm thing yet, or what? A lot of people absent from that case. How about the motive for the Portapique massacre? Is that going to be coming along anytime soon? Or, I mean, it's been 4 years, right? Five years now? When's the anniversary, guys? Did we pass it already? 5 years later, Portapique? Nothing. Not a single answer to anybody's questions. Weird. You guys all got promotions, though. That's nice. That's good. It's a good job. You thought you'd get me, didn't you? Oh, we'll show him. We'll shut him up. Oh, yeah. Did you ever? You fucking dinner, buddy. Oh, yeah, man. Fucking Mounties, eh? Holy shit, buddy. You fucking dinner. You shit your pants on that one, didn't you? You feel stupid? You should. You are. There's another two kinds of Canadians. Canadians that have experience with the RCMP and ones who haven't yet. Because I've been both. I used to have a very ignorant and naive interpretation of what our police were. What they're supposed to be, what I assumed they were, not the case. And then when you see it for yourself up close, woo. That leaves a taste in your mouth. It never goes away. When you see them do the kinds of things that I've seen them do, and I haven't even seen that. I mean, I've heard some stories way worse. They're the biggest criminal entity in the country, I think, outside the federal government in Ottawa. I think the RCMP is the second biggest criminal organization in Canada. I think they're pretty highly tied in with much of the organized crime in this country. They scratch each other's backs and make money together. There's been many cases of senior officials in the RCMP and other agencies charged, arrested, discovered to be actually high-profile operatives in criminal organizations, organized crime figures, and so on. Also happened to be high-ranking officials in the RCMP. How's that happen? Now, is that you guys cutting out the rot, or is he the fall guy? Not exactly a very transparent and honest organization. You got kind of a reputation for being the exact opposite. So I feel like it's probably more of a fall guy situation than anything. Anyway, it's your guys' fault. When the blood and the killing and the horror starts, I want you guys to know, not... You will know that you are the reason that this has happened. Every dead person every crying mother, every child without a father, you're the reason that it's come to this, because you didn't have the fucking guts to do your job when it mattered. And you had years. You had years and years and years to figure it out. And you didn't. You just wanted the money. You wanted to eat and get a bigger pool. You cannot be judged harshly enough. Two kinds of cops now. There's bad cops. There's quiet cops. Isn't there? They'll just throw up their hands and go, oh, gee, yeah, I know, it's pretty bad. You're literally a police officer, though. I'm not. Why aren't you? You signed up to be the person to deal with this, and now you're agreeing and complaining that, yeah, nobody's dealing with it. It's crazy. That's literally your job. Oh, man, I wish the Ninja Turtles would take care of this, huh? All this friggin' crime in Canada. Man, I wish Spider-Man would stop taking so many vacations. Somebody deal with this, huh? Right, guys? All right, I gotta go check on Mickey. Guy probably just needs some support and a job and throw him in the military even. You probably sort him out. No. Just focus on that and ignore, yeah, I don't know, like... The 200 Sikh gangsters with machine guns setting up shop in your town. That's not of any concern of you. Just make sure Mickey's got his ankle monitor on. Right? Just because everyone's behaving, the authorities, the state, the media... Because they're all behaving as though everything's fine, that doesn't mean that it is. There is a lot, more than enough justification to implement the Emergency Act right now. That's how bad it is. It's like, I don't know. I don't think it's too late yet, but we're getting there, and that's kind of the problem. If it's not stopped, right? If the bleeding is not stopped very soon, we're in a lot of trouble. And there's no other way to do that. And everyone just wants to insist and pretend like everything's fine when it isn't fine. Ignoring the problem, ignoring the bleeding, ignoring the suffering, which is making everything worse. And soon, it will be too much for us to contend with. The police will be overwhelmed. They will not be able to even come close to tackling the amount of crime. To the point where you're just unlucky if you even get arrested anymore as a criminal, because there's so much. So to keep them occupied, the state has directed them to people like myself. Angry white people. Keep them busy, keep them occupied. That's what you need to pay attention to, guys. Talk about abandoning your post. What was the pay raise they got again? 23% after the convoy? Like unprecedented, huh? That's quite the pay raise. Pays to be good little boys for the emperor, doesn't it? Pays well. Paid for my pool, right? Hey, paid for your pool, didn't it? Didn't it, cop? You're not a cop. You're not a cop. You're not police. You're just a thug. I can't respect people that are cowards. I don't respect cowards because there's nothing there to respect. They haven't achieved anything. If you can get where you've gotten by being a coward, it's not worth anything. Anyone could have done it. literally anyone could have done it, because you're a coward. And any difficult challenge that would have come your way, you would have failed or shirked away or did the cowardly thing, because you're still doing it now. Anyone could have been you. Anyone could have been you if they wanted to be. Cowards aren't anything. They're not. They don't have what it takes. They can't sacrifice. They can't take risks. Basically incapable of self-improvement. They're the worst. They're the worst. And they're everywhere. And most of them, many of them are occupying positions of authority, which is really bad. That's the last person you want in charge of anything is a coward. And they all are. Like Darren Fisher, who ran away from my girlfriend, Morgan. She tried to ask him a question, so he pretended his dog died and ran away. And you want to be my latex salesman.
I think I should get elected and be in charge of all the... Oh, is that a woman that might not like me? Ah!
Attaboy, Darren! Let's go! Fighting for those veterans! Let's go!
Attaboy! You know all about fighting, wouldn't you, Darren? Oh, yes, buddy. You're a fucking warrior, Darren. Oh, yeah. You fucking people don't understand the struggle you go through when you have... I mean, you've got clogged arteries, your intestines are destroyed. Like, you have to really struggle on the toilet, and nobody really appreciates how hard you fight every day, Darren.
Some people might think it's easy to put that many pancakes away, but it isn't. It isn't. And butter, there's a shortage. A lot of it is being eaten by Doug Ford. Some of it's from inflation, but the price is very high. And, you know, you that's a price that you're willing to pay, because we have to lubricate these pancakes on there. They don't just eat one at a time, right? You need the butter or else it won't. So, and he needs, it's for you, the people. It's a sacrifice he's willing to make with your tax money to get fat and stay fat. That should be state policy. That's fucking absolutely true. Why didn't I think of this sooner? This is 100% necessary and should be the law. I mean, the police don't follow it, but they're supposed to. The army doesn't follow it, but it's supposed to. Like, let's actually do that. You guys want to be leaders? We are the leaders. You're not leaders. You're scum. You're scum. Scum, scum, scum. Everybody's scum. But the leader's supposed to set the example. And if you're the societal leaders, then your example is for society. And, I mean, I just lived through the last 5 years with you, unfortunately. And I heard often said that, it's about health. It's about health. You guys take your health very seriously. The public health, very seriously. It's a very serious thing, isn't it? Public health. I agree. I happen to agree. Public health is one of the number one priorities that we should all be concerned with. Because if public health fails, it's devastating. Consequences can be devastating. You can lose complete control of your country. You can lose everything. Okay? Public health is certainly a priority. It's about health. Public health. Did you know that the number one reason, number one cause of death in this country is heart disease? Which is a fancy way to say fat. People were fat, and they died from being fat. Their hearts got diseased from all the shit they've been eating. Their arteries were clogged and jammed up, and their heart suffered under the weight, literal, the weight of this mass that it's trying to supply oxygen to. You ever throw a baseball, like, really hard as you can, and you, like, throw your arm out? You know that feeling? Oh, that's your heart going every second all day long, trying to throw oxygen all over this giant fuck. So it gets, and it dies. It gets, you know, starts to fail. And then you die because you need that to live, right? And that's a self-inflicted injury. That's what you've done to yourself by laziness and neglect of your own body, which is only your responsibility. So that's the number one cause of death, the number one, the thing killing most people, is their laziness and inability to put the fork down. So there shouldn't be any fat politicians at all. It should be state policy and law that there is a fitness standard for you to run for public office. And it should be a fairly aggressive one. I don't think it should be anything outrageous. I think it should be something that even people in their 50s, maybe even their early 60s, could complete if they were serious and kept themselves in relatively good shape. I know that's true because I know some people that do that. We have guys in their 50s and older that are pretty decent shape and don't have any problem pulling this or pushing that or running there and doing that. So it's not that it can't be done. It's actually very doable. It's very common if you put the work in. So I just think as public leaders of society who are so concerned about health, it's about health, you should set the standard and make it about health. This used to be on TV. Like, hey, everybody, let's not be lazy and fucked up. You know why? Because in the 90s, when this was produced, paid for, I believe, subsidized, but partly by the government of Canada, because everybody was getting fatter and lazier and shittier, and the smart people accurately were like, okay, we better end this now and make sure we reemphasize. Come on, guys. Look, there's even little kids. Everybody, come on. Let's get out there. Let's not be couch potatoes. Let's not eat cheese all day and just be cut. Look, that guy's in a wheelchair. Even the dog is exercising. And now we have Chrystia Freeland. Now we have Doug Ford. Now we have Bonnie Henry.
Fun this summer.
And at the same time, you can keep fit participating in all sorts of
activities. And they get paid enough.
Things together, and you too can keep fit and have
You guys
fun.
Can't afford a fucking gym membership? Let's put a gym in Parliament. You guys are always renovating Parliament constantly. Let's just throw $2 million down. Wouldn't even cost that much. Put a big gym there. It's only 300 and some of yous. Most of yous aren't going to be in there at the same time. Hey! The average good life would work. The average good life would provide our needs. Provide solution to our needs. Oh, I should also mention that it also comes with mandatory drug testing, too. Yeah, you can't be high or doing drugs if you're a public representative. That's literally illegal. It's like a heavy prison, like catastrophically bad, you know. To do that. So don't do that. So we're going to have piss tests, blood tests, and fitness tests annually, every year, every April 1st. There you go. Start of the fiscal year. Every April 1st, you're doing your annual medical as a state representative at any level, provincial, federal, whatever. That's just how we do things here because we don't let unserious clown people run our shit because you know what happened last time when it was about health, right? So let's actually make it about health. How about that? Where's Elizabeth May? You drunk? You drunk still? No, it should be a requirement. If you can't run, you can't do a push-up, you don't get to tell anybody what to do about anything. You can't even control your own body. You haven't even demonstrated the leadership ability to lead yourself to a respectable level of health. You can't even lead you. One person, just you. You can't bring you to a level that if you were seen naked, people wouldn't go, ah, God, you know? It's not even that hard to do. And you can't even do that. The bare minimum. Children are expected to do this. No, you don't eat ice cream until your supper's finished, right? My kids know better than this. You're there eating ice cream bars for breakfast before Parliament session, huh? Maybe hitting some pills. I don't know. I've seen you guys tweaking. Some of you guys are doing some drugs for sure. You're partying in there. I see you up drinking late at night, singing songs on the piano at 2 o'clock in the morning when you're supposed to be going to a
to an international summit in the morning. You're drinking $27,000 on the plane ride over there and back, $75,000. Eating, what are you eating, caviar and having strippers up there on the plane? Must be some damn good one drink of wine you had. It's $1,000 a glass? I don't think that's necessary. You've got, I know people that make it for like nothing. You can, a couple of dollars, it's fine. And if that, save some money. That would be some another display of leadership, right? Saving, not wasting our money on frivolous nonsense. Because it's valuable, and every dollar we waste is another dollar that we can't now use to improve the situation for our citizens at home. Can we? Can't really do that. We can't use any of the millions of dollars that the liberals have eaten, drank, fucked, spent on prostitutes, maybe even children at Epstein Island. Who knows? No one's investigating. Certainly not the police. All that money we're never going to get back, and we can't help anybody with that money ever. That's okay. Just millions of dollars. I'm being generous. I mean, I'm just still blown away. The $288 billion just on infrastructure projects. And it's like, oh, well, she vowed to do better. I will do better next time. Oh, you'll steal $200 billion next time? Did you vow? Are you vowing, Catherine? Don't you vow unless you mean it. I'm just in my head rattling around like the things these people are wasting their time arguing about are not even on the buffet table of issues that need attention urgently. I'm going to talk about this movie a little bit. I keep having these, I've been in the military forever. That was my old life and that's all I know. So that's how I compare a lot of things. But when you're triaging, it's called casualties. There's some extra training you could do. I mean, I wasn't a medic, but I've had, intermediate, retard, pack the wounds and apply tourniquets. Like, just keep them alive for 20 minutes, will you, until the actual medics get here, idiot, that kind of stuff. I had the pleasure of doing some of that overseas. And what you do is, when you receive a casualty, or maybe even a number of casualties, maybe you got a number of them, there's five of them. Who do you start with? Well, this is what triaging is for. This is where you take stock of all the injuries, all the casualties. We've got five men. Two of them are very grievously wounded. Three are moderately to minorly wounded. That guy, he's lost a finger. You're fine. Get out. Send him, bandage your hand and go, you're fine. You lost a finger. What do you do? You're fine. This guy's got a concussion and, he's pretty, he's deaf now. He's fucked up. He's bleeding. He can't, he's got to be casuvaced, but he's fine. Like, there's not really anything we can do. He's not going to die. So just, all right, get him ready to go. There's two gone. Now you're down to the other three. This guy's been shot and those two guys are bleeding. All their arms and legs are all a mangled mess and they're all, those guys need to be worked on immediately because they're definitely going to die if nobody helps them. This guy, he's got time. He's been shot in the gut. That's awful. Yeah, that probably really hurts, but you're not going to die for like 6 hours. They're going to be dead in 10 minutes. So be right with you. And you go focus on those guys. Because you're either going to save them or they're going to be dead in minutes anyway. So that's generally how that, or if it's just one person, you check. I think it was called a wet check. You're supposed to look for blood and injuries and stuff. And it's like, oh, I've got my eyelid's been shot off. Like, oh, that's awful. My ear's gone. Okay. And there's a small hole in my leg that blood is just firing out of like a fire hose because my femoral artery has been blown in half and no longer exists. So I'm like, imagine punching a hole the size of your fist in your gas tank while you're driving and then watching all of the, how long do you think for the gas tank goes empty, right? That's what kind of bleed that is. That's not a, oh, are you bleeding? That's a, if you don't stop this in the next 60 seconds, you're dead kind of a bleed. So you got to start with that. You know, you have to start with the most severe problems first that are threatening your very existence and then work your way down. You don't focus on Mickey. I am aware that entropy has died. I'm working on it right now. Just nobody call me and send carrier pigeons or anything. Why does it always do this? What music was that? That was the Factor Fairy Tale song, right? I want to make like a hold music. Entropy died on me, so now I got to go back and fetch those messages. But before I do that, we'll do Brian on Rumble says, if every white guy had a Tommy gun and an RPG, we could save a lot of problems. I personally would not issue Tommy guns or RPGs. Listen, I know you guys think they're cool. Trust me, you're going to fuck yourself up. They're very, very dangerous. Okay. You need to, believe it or not, that's kind of an advanced level. I mean, I've seen people blow themselves up with those. It's very, very easy to do. I saw a video of a guy once in theater trying to ambush these dudes. And he stands right up in kind of a half destroyed building sort of, but like in, there's a huge wall all around him and he fires his and just, so there's an explosion that comes out of the back of the tube also. And then it's going to hit this concrete wall and then go where? Right up your ass. Right. And so, just be aware. There's many factors of things to consider. Also, don't let it skip off of something nearby. Oh, I think I could do it. You're aimed a little low there. Boom. Oh, you blew yourself up. RPGs are terrifying, man. They make a very distinct sound on the way in, and it's... Huh? I hated them the worst because bullets, if you hear the bullets, you're fine if you hear them because you're hearing it as it's going past your face. You don't hear when you get shot. You're just, everything goes dark probably. Rockets, you can hear them on the way to you. and just because you hear it doesn't mean you're safe. It means, it sucks. It's not a good time. It's like a really, really loud air pressure hose. Or some, I don't know. It's a fucking rocket, dude. Use your imagination. What do they sound like? They sound like you'd expect them to sound like. Justice for Father says, fuck the government. Well, I mean, if the government's bad and doing a really terrible job, yeah, fuck them. I don't think it has to be, though. I don't think you have to have a terrible, shitty, horrible government. I think we've just grown accustomed to this. People have seen that this is how it's been for quite a long time. And it's like, it's like that everywhere. I don't think it has to be, though. And it hasn't always been. And it doesn't have to be. It's been made this way. And some people are like, oh, man, what, do we lose a war? Yes, that is actually the answer to that question. A couple, actually. Jenstein says entropy's down. Praise the Jews. Praise indeed. Thank you. And also CRJ's a tranny. Okay, well, I'm glad we've got that under control. Thank you, sir. Where the hell was I? So, the triaging thing. So, all these problems we have in... Are they looking for the $200 billion? Are they trying to get to the bottom of... why is CSIS compromised? Why are all these Chinese police stations here? Why are they building military installations in our provinces? Why are there Chinese military bases in PEI in British Columbia? I'm asking. I don't know the answer to that question, but I'm asking that question. Yes, that is real. Oh, I'm sorry. They don't have a big flag out front that says it's a People's Liberation Army military base. It just has everything but that. Just armed Chinese men with submachine guns constructing underground compounds
with, you know, ventilation. And it's very interesting. Huge communication arrays and towers and. It's probably for, they're probably just making fireworks. You know, the Chinese are. It's probably a fireworks factory. And they're just safety, keeping people out. Where are the police? They're looking for Mickey right now. They don't care about the Chinese or the Indians or the Muslims or anybody. A lot of alien fifth columns in this country are very heavily armed and entrenched in our country. And the only way that we're going to get rid of them is if we physically fight them. And that's going to suck. And it's going to suck worse the longer we ignore it. And that's what the police are doing, ignoring it and making it worse and worse. So when it inevitably spills over into anybody's game now, warlord versus warlord in every different region and area of the country, because there's no police, there's no military, they're not capable of... You can say, hey, you better stop that. Yeah, come fucking make us do it then. You're not able to. Really. And that's only going to need to happen once. And it's going to be like open season at that point. So when the situation deteriorates to some... And people think it can't happen here. Happened in Serbia. Happened in Kosovo. Happened in Yugoslavia. It's happened in Czech Republic. Happened in Poland. It happens, actually. It does happen. So, looks like it's going to happen here next. Happened in South America, Latin America. Yep. There's no reason to think the same things that happened there on the way to their respective horror shows are the same things that are happening now here with us. So to think we're going to a different place would be stupid. You should assume this is where we're going because this is where it's gone in the past. And again, once we get there, I just want everybody to remember that the police are primarily... a big part of the reason why that is, why we've come to that. They just wanted a bigger pool, and they thought, I'll just wait till I retire, and that'll be somebody else's problem. There's no emergency. There's nothing we got to do. We're not in danger of losing the country forever. No, but you got a pool, though. Always remember, hey, we may lose the country forever, but you had a pool for a little while, though. A big one. Big one. Paid for your pool for like you got like 6 summers out of that pool too before you had to leave the neighborhood because it was a war zone or because there was a dead guy floating in it for 6 weeks. It was too dangerous to go outside. You just kind of holed up in there. Everybody that's all horny and excited to I think they're going to have a fun time. They're going to like this experience of extreme civil unrest or civil war or something like that. I really encourage you to go read about the accounts of the civilian population in Bosnia during that civil war. You know, like trapped in your basement for weeks. It's literally too dangerous to go upstairs. They said the most valuable commodity at that time was books. Because there was nothing to do. People were eating grass because there's no food. There's no what, you go to the grocery store? Oh, hey, everybody pause the war. I got to go downtown and get some burgers. No, that's all over. That stops. And it could be years. I'm just going to hold up here. Like you're just going to sit there on a what? Stockpile of ammunition and food and hope. An organized gang doesn't come try to knock you over, and you're just going to sit there for potentially years in the dark in the basement staring at the walls, are you? Oh, yeah. Oh, it's going to be awesome, guys. Whenever you're a man, oh, it's going to be so bad. No, it's going to be the worst thing you've ever experienced, and you will do anything. You would give anything to come back to right now. Right now, you would do anything. You'd cut off your own feet to come back to right now.
It's so funny to me that these people haven't done it in a while because I think they know how stupid it is now and it's not working. And because it's the hypocrisy is hilarious. Our enemies are the ones pushing for this. I've been trying to alert people to this for 7 years, that this is the direction we're going in, and they'll call me, I'm an accelerationist and I'm trying to create a civil war. No, I'm trying to avoid that happening. And if enough people are aware of the danger we're in, it won't happen. You, on the other hand, would like to keep them ignorant of all of these things developing so that it does happen. So I guess while we're making lists, you might as well put the Jewish Supremacist Anti-Hate Network on there. Rebel News has done a decent job obfuscating the truth in many cases. Much of the legacy media, just pretty much state media in general, like anybody that works for CBC is some degree of culpability. Just too many things. The entire political establishment, top to bottom, everybody, every single person involved in that. We already went over the police and, hey, I mean, the military's got to share some blame here too, because their job is also national security. They're supposed to be focused on outward threats. However, there is some capacity and precedent for them to be focused on domestic threats. That's actually what JTF2's entire job is supposed to be, is domestic counterterrorism. They're the terrorist killers. That's their job. So domestic security is their backyard. So I don't know who's in charge of CANSOFCOM right now. Who's in charge? I mean, General Jenny's in charge of the whole military. She's working on baking cookies right now. Trying to get a Netflix picture deal about that time she was never really in any danger and tried to run away from Iraq anyway. Somebody in there, at no point did anyone go, okay, guys, well, I've assessed the scene here, and everyone in charge seems content to just let us sail down the river to hell. So let's talk options. What are we going to do? Because we can't let this happen. We can't let the country deteriorate like this. No one did. No one had that conversation. They only have yes men. So if we were a plane, one of those like four-engine bombers, you know, or a jet or something, and we're down to two engines, and then we were down to one engine, the other three are done. They're not coming back, and one is like barely alive, right? That's the only hope that we're going to get out of this without any kind of a mess. But now all we have is yes men and self-interested narcissists and pigs in all the places that matter. We don't have any engines. There is no avoiding the crash now. It is impossible to avoid. No one anywhere is even trying to fly the plane. They're not even. What are the election issues? All right, let's talk about the Canadian election for a minute. What's everybody talking about? Not in our circles, not in adult time reality land, not here. What are the normal, regular, everyday people, what are they concerned about? Well, the red chicken-headed people think that the blue people are going to stop letting them abort babies. That's a hot button right now. The blue chicken-headed people, they're going to give you a couple grand in a tax rebate, and they say that the red chicken-headed people, their leader, cheated on a school midterm paper 30 years ago. So that's also what's going on. I think Elizabeth May is running again, and I don't know why. She's just been drunk for like 20 years. Like, she's just kind of she's like a supporting Trailer Park Boys character. She's kind of like Jim Leahy. I think that's why they keep her around. More of a cultural thing than anything. I mean, she has no real purpose other than to be subversive and drunk. And then there's Jagmeet. I mean, what's he up to? What are the orange people doing? The orange people are doing orange people things right now.
We're going to do it across this country. Let's go. We got this. We got this. Let's go. We're going to jump together, okay? We're going to jump on the chorus, all right?
So here's Jagmeet with a whole bunch of fat, middle-aged cat wine mom people. And they're gonna do some jumping, which is funny. I'm going to just go to the full screen, Philip. Down here, there's actually a woman in a wheelchair who is obviously very incapable of jumping. But, you know, Jagmeet pays attention to detail. And
are you ready?
Well, she's not. She's in a wheelchair.
Are you ready?
Are you 60-year-old women and your cats and your box of wine ready to be pointless?
Are you ready to jump?
Are you ready to jump up and down like children? Like you're in junior high school? Why don't you just get the parachute out, Jagmeet? Oh, we're going to play cat and mouse with the big parachute. You guys remember that? Why don't you play dodgeball? What the fuck even is this? Did you hear anything I said? We're bleeding hundreds of billions of dollars. There's crime everywhere. It's not, there's people disappearing. The fucking, and you're like, hey, let's get a bunch of old ladies and jump up and down in a video. I pressed it by accident, but I think it was appropriate. This is just fucking next level, buddy.
At the chorus. When the chorus comes, I want this floor to shake. I want the floor to shake, okay? When the chorus comes, we're all going to jump together.
Don't worry, Jag. By the size of these ladies you got in there, I'm pretty sure that floor is going to be moving somewhere.
Get ready, everybody.
There's one guy over here who's real excited. His mom brought him. That's probably his mom there in the wheelchair.
Show them that we're ready. We're ready to fight. We're ready to win.
We're ready to win by jumping up and down next to this.
Get ready. Get ready. Get warmed up. Get warmed up.
Get warmed up.
Here we go. Let's go. Ready?
What is this?
Are you ready?
Oh, and it's.
Are you ready?
Right.
Are you ready? Here we go. 1, 2,
wait.
3. Yes, thank you so much.
Well, I mean, I know that was a mediocre experience, guys. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, it was funny, I thought, for a minute, but then it just became sad and gross, and it was kind of a wash. Like, that's the NDP, though, right? Like, that's who they are, right? So they're irrelevant. They're not ever going to do anything. That's not a real. They're not. They're no consequence. I don't know what the point of them is. They'll never win anything. They've just existed as a coalition with the liberals to just pass and enforce some of the most draconian and insane shit ever, ever. That's all. And we're not doing that. He's, you know, posing with OnlyFans whores and jumping up and down. You're trying to give 60-year-old women a heart attack at a bake sale. That's how they're fighting, you guys.
They're going to fight so much. We're ready. We're battling.
CRJ says, very truthful. Let me see. He says, in Bosnia, they'd keep rats to drink the blood as a renewable food source. Yeah, stuff like that. If you think that's not true, unfortunately, it is. You got two warring factions on either side of where you happen to be, and you're stuck there because they're shooting anything that moves, as tends to happen. You're down there until it's over, until one of them beats the other, or somebody moves or goes away, and that could be literally months, years. Have fun. Enjoy. I'm sure you're real good at Call of Duty, and you'll somehow You know, these people are like, oh man, I'd fucking, buddy, you get winded if you can't take the fucking elevator at a hotel, okay? You're not battle ready. Do you have any idea how difficult that job is? It's one of the most physically demanding jobs on that exist on Earth. I'm trying to think of something that could be in the same ballpark, but I don't. I don't think there's anything that compares. It's to the death, so the risk is total. There's no rules. You think there's
the Geneva Convention.
Listen, in real life, that there's no rules, okay? I'm just being honest. Anything can happen. The only thing that the only truth in the battlefield is this. That's what's true. Whoever has a bigger one of these, that's what's true. Everything else is a question mark. And you have to be able to do it while you're haven't slept for days. You've been on your feet. And not just not sleeping. Like, oh man, I stayed up 3 days in a row. You what, playing video games? Or how about walking 40 fucking kilometers a day with 100 pounds on your back for days? Nonstop. There's no time. You can't stop. You're tired? Too bad. Everybody's tired. Oh, yeah, there's no food today. You might have to go without food for a while, depending on the circumstances. We'll give you some rations, but, I mean, who knows if that's even going to... Also, you're outside a lot, constantly, in the elements, and it's miserable. Often, like, there's no breaks. There's no... You might be in such a dangerous position. You're like, oh, man, I really got to piss. Piss your pants. You don't have a choice. There's nowhere to go, you know? Remember, we came back from a, like, 40-some days operation in the desert. We were told to pack for operation in the desert. We were told to pack for a week. They told us to bring equipment. Like, okay, we're going out for a week-long op, 40-some days later. No laundry, no showers, none of that shit. And I remember I stood up my pants. I had taken off, thrown them over a chair, kind of, you know, shit dries fast. It's hot as hell over there. And like after we actually got back to the back to camp to clean up, and when they dried out, I could stand them up like almost like a paper mache, like the Invisible Man. Because there was so much salt and dirt in the fabric that when it dried, I could stand up. That's how... So, and there's fleas biting everybody, the sand fleas, you know. And this is just existing I'm talking about. I haven't even started talking about the actual fighting aspect of any of that. Which is like 2% of the whole experience. Which, I mean, staying ready to fight is most of the overwhelmingly majority of the job, and it becomes it is so hard to do. And then when you do have to, it's often when you're not ready to and don't want to, and like this is the worst thing that could happen right now. Yeah. So then it goes from already really shitty to just I want to die. This is the worst. I assume you're a badass. You've got all your equipment. It should probably be somewhere in the neighborhood of 70 to 100 pounds of gear if you're a professional, if you know what you're doing. So that's heavy. And you've got your boots are fully worn in, right? I mean, you're going to need 20 clicks in those at least to work the kinks out. You don't get boot bites and stuff, and it mangles your feet. You don't want to find that out the hard way much later. Boot full of blood, can't walk. It's bad. You know, now you're a problem. You've thought of all of this, I'm sure. It's all sorted out. You know how exhausting it is to have all that shit on and just sprint 50 meters and then throw yourself over like a 4-foot wall? You'll like throw up. And you might have to do that 30 times while trying to shoot a gun. Do you have any fucking clue how hard this shit is? And while you're exhausted and can't breathe, they're like, I don't need water. Fucking, oh, this guy comes around the corner and now he wants to hand fight you to the death. So now you're doing UFC with all this shit on also. Haven't slept, haven't eaten, tired, cold, covered in fleas. You know, it's just an all around. Listen, you can just see red is what I'm saying. You can be like, listen, man, I'd fucking, if they ever came here, I'd fucking, you'd do what? You'd transform into a fucking. Standing outside in the cold is like too much for you. And you're gonna just suddenly rise to the occasion of the most difficult activity that exists for the human experience. Oh, and I should also mention, the adrenaline pump and dump of this activity is so exhausting that you can be in the middle of getting shot at and fall asleep. That's also something that can happen. So be aware of that. And, yeah, just the general fear and anxiety. It's very draining. It's very exhausting. It's a good time. It's actually the worst time. It's the worst thing there is. And they say, you know, they say war is hell. Yeah, I agree. Mine was only like a 4 out of 10 difficulty. Like I've seen enough to like, I can see what I had done is already, you know, and I'm aware that there are several levels further to go than that. And no thanks. If I can help it, I'd rather not. It's so funny that when you're young and dumb and excited about it, though, you don't think about anything else. You just want to get to it. Want to get in there. Let's get in there and mix it up. It's like fighting, right? It's like you train if you're into kickboxing or so. You train, you know, for years. It's finally, it's, you know. Except nobody tries to kill you. Like, people don't explode in kickboxing. People don't have their heads just fucking come off, you know. There's not 12-year-olds on fire and, you know, shit like that. The Deporter. Now, I want to talk about this movie in a minute now that we're on the topic. The Deporter says, can we talk about why every single food product you buy has a kosher star? What are you talking about? Why not? Every single food product you buy has a kosher star, C-O-R-U, or other certification. Is this true? I've not heard this before, but I'm kind of afraid to look into it. Is it possible? Could it be true? Could there be a central location from which Ashkenazi Talmudic psychopaths are processing all of your food products and marking them appropriately with the seal of Dracula? If you have any information about this suspected heinous crime, please call. Perhaps you can solve this unsolved anti-Semitism. I'm Robert Stack, and I'm a Nazi now. Probably should have been able to tell from the show
It was heavily inferred. I'm a very traditional guy, and I would not approve of any of this. No, sir. No, sir. If you put 40-year-old Robert Stack into 2025, you best believe what side of that equation he's coming out on. Probably even have a tattoo.
And they're not, I don't know. I don't want to know that about food. I do know, I mean, some things are. Well, we have a lot of halal approved items, which is just the Muslim version. And it's like, go there then. Everywhere you got, make room. We got to make room. Make room for everyone else in the whole world. There's literally no room for us anymore. Shut up, bigot! Die! You need to get rid of all the white people. You're white. Whee! Sometimes. Sometimes go, no, I'm not! Like, we know you're Jewish. Man on the Mountain says, every single time without exception that there has been a white supremacist Nazi scary terrorist group in Canada has turned out to be the creation of the RCMP, CSIS, or both. I'm only aware of the one. There was the Adam Waffen thing, but that was the FBI, wasn't it? But yeah, they're the ones, you know, they create these things. So now the media is doing its job. They're probably like, wait a minute, what, that's not us. What's this? What the fuck? Some guys took a photo outside of a building, like a government building, had a nice mural on it, had the Canadian coat of arms on it, which is why they chose that site. Like, wee, what the fuck is this? It's terrorism. That's not my speculation. That's what I'm hearing is going on inside the office there, wherever my face is on the wall. Real. And that was like months ago. Again, I mean, a bunch of Indian guys with machine guns. You know what? I mean, you guys don't even want to deal with the hundreds of them carrying swords around, which is illegal in Canada. You're not allowed to carry swords and knives and weapons for personal protection, which is exactly the reason they say that they're carrying them. But, you know, they're brown, so they do what they want, right? It's different because cultural reasons. No, I've noticed this. I've noticed kind of mainline commentators, psychologists, like system approved, kosher, if you will. People, when they talk about these things, they try to skirt the issue by calling it cultural issue, cultural difference. It was a cultural this and cultural that and cultural. And they do this because they don't have to say race, which is what that is, what the difference is, right? Because it's not like it's the French people doing this. What's wrong with all these goddamn, what is wrong with the Francophone? Well, it's a cultural thing. India is not part of our culture. It's a totally different country on the other side of the world. That is, it couldn't be any more different. It is the most different country on earth than this one. And it's just the knots and the desperation they're tying themselves up in to avoid the obvious is funny. And they think if they can just placate it so much. And what are you doing? We should talk about the election stuff or this. This movie, maybe. I'll probably do both. I just want to make this last point. I'm going to talk about this movie for a minute, and then we'll talk about the election stuff. Oh, and also, fuck Tim Kennedy, by the way. My bad, guys. I missed this one. I missed this entirely. This is months old now. This is 3-4 months old now.
But that guy is a real piece of shit. He is a real big narcissist and just a shameless sellout. It's gross. But, you know, we had, there was like a meme about that for a while. Fuck Tim Kennedy, but it was more of kind of in jest. No, actually, fuck him now. Yeah, his entire community has called him out. He's being, there's talk of taking, stripping him of his Ranger tab status, which is like basically an informal dishonorable discharge. Like the military didn't actually do that to you, but the unit did. Basically, you don't exist and never did, and fuck you. Like, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. And they actually want to do this. Because he's been just totally making money and trying to lift himself up on literally stolen valor and things that didn't happen, things that happened to other people, put it in a book about himself and said it was all true when it isn't. And that is, that's a really fucked up thing to do, which is crazy to me because he's already such an accomplished guy. And there's this weird phenomenon of this. Chris Kyle was a similar way. I was like, what in the fuck was wrong with this guy? They kind of remind me of each other. I think they're both a little bit psychopathic. I've always wondered that about old Timmy. He seems a little bit of a nutcase. But so Chris Kyle, American Sniper, I wrote the book when it came out. I read the book that he wrote when it came out. And there was just lots of crazy shit in there that definitely didn't happen. Like he's sniping looters off of the stadium in New Orleans during the flood. And the government gave him a license to kill anybody he wants. And the police had to let him go because he showed them a special card. He didn't. It's not real. Hey, he beat up Jesse Ventura at a bar. Jesse Ventura sued him. That never happened either. And it was like, dude, you already have the all-time kill count. As a service member of the United States military, that's quite the and a Navy SEAL and so he already, so why are you making shit up? It's baffling. Or like, are you addicted to the act? Like you want people to adore you so much, and you feel like your old stories aren't good enough. You need new ones, so you're making them up now. Like I don't know, I don't know what that is, but it's some kind of extreme level of insecurity. And it's fucked up. But apparently Tim Kennedy's doing the same thing. And yeah, it's again, like you're a Green Beret. Or not a Green Beret, he's a Ranger. 75th Ranger Regiment, Special Ops. He's a fucking, what are you doing? Why are you making up stories and inventing accolades and things that didn't exist when a lot of the shit you've already done is already very impressive? And he was an active UFC fighter at the same time. He's on the UFC roster while being an active duty special operations soldier. And he's like, yeah, but I need to make a bunch of shit up. Bro, what the fuck is wrong with you? But Chris Kyle is clearly, you know, not all there. Who's to say what it does to the mind when you're just blowing people away at the rate that he was as frequently. I mean, I think of it kind of like space, if this makes sense. You're out there killing people, right? Or you're in this kind of scenario. Everybody can relate. no, but you need to kind of get into a different headspace than regular day to day. Like you can't just, it's kind of extreme, and what you want to do is kind of like tether yourself. It makes you like a space station. You ever see people go out on like a spacewalk or something? They have a tether so they don't float away from the space station forever into the void. Or so the legend goes, you know. So tons of people still are like, space is fake! I'm like, I'm not having this conversation. But what happens when there's like no tether? It gets like they just, you can't get back, is what I'm saying. There's no coming back now. It's just, and what happens to you mentally then? You've gone so far for so long away from sanity that
like probably being lost in space. Like, which way is even up now? I don't know. Maybe that's what happened to Chris. I don't know. But Tim is just, he's the other guys. There was a podcast that was really getting into this. It was called the Anti-Hero Podcast. They're all SEALs and Green Berets, and like they're all guys from these units that he's worked at. And they're like, he's completely full of shit. That didn't happen. Like, they're all just, it's bad. And he put out a rebuttal video, which is even worse. Doesn't address any of their claims. Just basically says they're all liars and trying to make money. And it's like, he's not a good liar. It's anyway. So I believe all those guys. And but the worst part is they said he's writing this book as if he's trying to get Jake Gyllenhaal to play him in a fucking movie. You know, he's trying to look at me. Come on. I want to fucking, you know, me. I'm Tim Kennedy. I'm a fucking bitch. Like, cool, man. I get people being competitive and trying to get to the next level and, you know, opportunity to get a movie, all this kind of shit. Cool. But how did you get there? What was your path to where you are right now? Military service. It's very specific. And so a lot of guys are partly responsible for you even existing at all and being anywhere near that. And a lot of them have been killed. And you're trying to now leverage that for personal gain and just kind of mocking the whole thing and just making shit up for your own personal benefit and, yes, becoming a living mockery of everything that they died for and stood for. And yeah, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. So I don't blame them. I'm like, yeah, we're going to strip him. We're taking his tab. I'm like, that's, wow, the fall of Tim Kennedy. Holy shh. It's a long way down for that guy. Oh, man. Like, and why? You know, all you had to do, just why did you have to make shit up? Is he greedy? I don't know. Sad. But that's something else I want to say before. I've got to play this movie. I really got to take a leak. So I need to, I'll show you the trailer first. I want to talk about this movie for a minute. I don't normally do this, but I did used to. Hey, when there's military stuff that comes up, you know. It has in the past been a frequent feature of this podcast. But there are guys that really beat themselves up because they think they didn't do enough, and they did a lot. It's like this weird psychological trap they get found in. There'll be a guy that's did one tour or a guy that's done seven, and they're suffering from the same, like, they're comparing themselves to something or someone else and think, compared to that, I only did this, and therefore I, you know. I know guys that are, they feel like they've like failed or weren't real soldiers because they didn't fucking kill anybody. That's what bothers them. You know how fucked up that is? Like, I didn't get to kill anybody. I didn't. And not because they're like bloodthirsty. It's because like other guys did and they didn't. So they carry this weight and they don't. And the nature of the job is such a team oriented thing that like, if one of us is suffering, we all suffer. If one guy, like, that's how it has to be. And they feel like, oh fuck, I, you know, or they'll go out on like leave. And then a bunch of crazy shit happens and they weren't there. And now there's this weird disconnect between them and their guy. It's fucked up. And I've had this thought before, often actually, because it needs to make sense. I've always had to make it make sense before I can move on. And both sides of the coin of guys suffer from this. There's guys that did the physical trigger pulling, and then the guys that maybe helped or just weren't around or were just on the other side of they just weren't there. They feel shitty because they weren't there doing that. And these guys feel shitty because they were, because
not always an awesome thing. But the way that the military works has to work. Everything is a team level. The smallest level unit there is two guys. Everything is a shared responsibility. Every piece of the machine has to work for all of it to work. If one thing breaks, things start to come apart. If the logistics don't function, if the food's not cooked, if the truck's not parked and fueled at the right time, if the plane doesn't arrive, if the map is wrong, if the coordinates are off, if the communications aren't right, there's so many things that have to work just to put a guy in a position to pull a trigger at all. And then who's he pulling the trigger on? Well, that guy. Well, he's the one that saw the guy and radioed to this guy who told that guy who's now got his gun on him. So who actually killed him? Did the Prime Minister kill him because they sent us there? Like, a whole chain of events unfolds and all of them are connected. And if any one of those things deviate in any way, you don't end up killing that guy. Because you weren't standing there, you were standing there, or you weren't even there at all, or neither was he. You know, you see what I'm saying? There's like a million dominoes that have to fall for that exact moment to happen. And it's very much like luck of the draw. You could be in a very, very hot zone for a long time, and just nothing happens. One of our sister platoons just like basically all, well, not nothing. They got a little bit of a, had some bad days, but not much compared to some of the other ones. There was one of our other companies was just, it seemed like every other day they were getting fucked with. And in the same places. And it would just be like, it's just bad luck, I guess. So, and I knew another guy who was clearly upset about this because he mentioned it every time he got drunk, which was often. And not because I think he was doing well. He had rounded a corner with a light machine gun, same kind of one I was carrying. The Americans call it the M249. We call it the C9. It's a box belt-fed light machine gun. And he comes around a corner, and there's three fucking Taliban guys stop, you know, right fucking there. Like right there, like 3 feet in front of him. They're just walking along, and he's walking along, and they do this. And he just reacted first and blah, wasted him. And he did the right thing because they would have killed him and the rest of the guy, like, you know. But the actual on-the-ground physical human reality of turning a corner, seeing three people that you don't know who look shocked and afraid, and then your next move is to just rip them in half with a machine gun and then watch them die. And you're also 20 or 19 years old, by the way, when you do this. That's, a, you know, it's a bit much to deal with at 19, 20. And he felt, it bothered him. But like, why was it him? Had he gotten sick that day, or if the platoon commander just put a different—I mean, you could put any one of the sections. Why was yours the lead section? Oh, that's just the one we went with that day. It's literally just whose turn is it? If it wasn't them, it would have been this guy, and you would have been back here in my seat, and you'd be telling him who's, you know. So it's not the responsibility or the weight of any one man. It's everybody's, because it could be any of us. Any of us could get killed, and any of us could be the killer, because that's how it is. We're all looking for these guys. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to go on, but we all signed the piece of paper. We all signed the shit, and we all got on the bus. We all got on the plane. We all grabbed the weapons out of the vault. We all loaded them, got in the trucks, went out to the fucking do the job. Nobody knew what was going to happen. So everything that did happen, it could have been easily any one of us, and that was the risk that we all take, and the guys that have to carry it, they carry it. They try to. But I think it would. I think it would do everyone some good mentally to probably try to accept that it was you, but it easily could have been somebody else. So the other side of that coin is all these guys that are like, "Oh, yeah, I never did that, or I never even." You could have though, if you think you're morally not responsible at all, you're wrong. Oh, you just loaded the ammo in the cannon that guy used to blow those dudes away. You didn't kill him. He did. So if this was a criminal court in Canada, you would be accessory to murder, right? And you'd be getting the same sentence as he would. Oh, you just drove the vehicle with the cannon on it. Okay. And you just told him where to go, where to drive, okay. And your boss told you to take those guys there, right? And his boss in Ottawa told him, and his boss in Ottawa told him, and that boss was the prime minister who told him. So where does it end? It's just, it's easier to be the on-the-ground human reality to be like he or you or I, you know, did this or whatever. But in a way, you're like the least responsible for it. So many other decisions that you had nothing to do with, that you couldn't have anything to do with, that happened independently of you, led you to this place. And unfortunately, life is not what people think it is, where it's all chocolate cakes and high fives and rainbows and puppy dogs and shit all the time. Actually, life has a tendency, especially when it's a little more wild places like that, to just be awful. Remember the other night I was talking about, like, you know, they don't know what's down there, like in the pit, the monster. And part of that kind of concept of the monster is just the awful shit that can happen that's out there that people don't think can happen or will ever happen to them or whatever. And they come up in front of it in real life and experience it, and it fucks them up. They're not ready for that. They can't wrap their heads around the degree of horror that can exist in real life. They think that's just in movies or like this far away, and that won't. That causes a lot of people a lot of problems. And that can be difficult to accept and deal with, but yeah, we all share it, but ultimately anybody that feels guilty about anything, that would be like being a hammer that someone took off the wall and used it to murder someone with, and then the hammer feels horrible for it. You know? If the hammer was on trial in the courtroom, everyone would be like, "What are you talking about?" If the hammer could talk. It's like a Nickelodeon movie. It's Toy Story 5. Hammy the Hammer is on trial for murder. "I didn't do it. I'm just a hammer." "We believe you, Hammy. You know, it wasn't his fault." He's the least responsible, really. That's just a tool. He's a tool for a purpose, just like a soldier is. They're a tool for a purpose. And whose fault is it if they ended up doing something fucked up? Why are they there in the first place? Who wound up these toys and tools and sent them off to do this in the first place? Why did you do that? Who made these decisions and why? Can they justify any of them? You can't blame people for doing what they got to do to survive. These guys that are like fucked up, they had to shoot like a 13-year-old or something, right? It's like, he's got a fucking machine gun. He was about to open fire. Like, what? You got no choice, right? And it's, you know, you either shoot a 13-year-old or you watch a 13-year-old cut up some of your roommates, and you can tell their wives and their girlfriends and their parents how their son is dead and whatever because some fucking 13-year-old ripped them apart with an RPK. Because you were scared, you know? Like, there's no good ending here. And that's the point. Like, if you think you're going to get through life without any dents, it doesn't happen. You can just hide.
You can just hide and wait for it to be over when you're just like an old alcoholic fucking loser with nothing to do. Yeah, I made it. You won at life. You hid from everything forever because you were scared of things. Good for you. No, I don't think. I don't think these negative experiences. I don't even think they're negative necessarily. I wouldn't hesitate and call it a gift either. But if you want to see what life is has to offer you, an experience that's pretty much it's one of the most intense ones there is. And if you can digest it and process it and survive it, I think you can learn a lot, and you can gain a lot of wisdom and experience that will be of benefit to a lot of other people. But the moral of the story is, it's not your fault. It's not my fault. It's not any of our fault. How can you blame a bunch of 17-year-old kids who grew up being told that this is how you serve your people? This is how you protect your loved ones. This is what that is. That's what they think they're doing. In reality, criminal gangsters use them to basically conduct hits for them so that they can make money. And then they lie to these kids, and you know, they go home in boxes or in pieces or whatever, and they just forget about them. And then when they need another batch of them, they commission some more movies, they run some more shit in the news, they get another generation of kids all fired up on some shit that is totally bullshit. And they drown out the previous generation. Like the Vietnam veterans. Or the Korea veterans. Or the World War II veterans. The World War I. Oh yeah, they got silenced big time. I got a book called Unknown Warriors by Nicholas Pringle. You want to hear what the average guy from World War II thought about that by 2006? You should read it. I think you'll be very surprised. I've never heard any of this before. Yeah, exactly. That's how it works. So I'm going to be right back. I want to get into this, and this movie fucking was something. And then, this election's depressing. It's pretty bad. I probably should mention some, you know, the fate of myself is highly dependent on how this election goes. For some very specific reasons. I'll get to that, but in just a minute. This is a trailer for the movie I was finally going to get around to talking about. It was called something else. It's called Warfare Now. I don't know what the fuck it was called. I think it was called War originally. I don't know. Made by... I can't remember the guy's name now. The director was a Navy SEAL himself, and he based the film off of his own accounts and of the guys he was there with, and this is more or less what happened. So we'll see. The trailer looked promising. I was willing to check it out. I was willing to subject myself to this and willing to risk, you know, being emotionally disturbed and having old, you know, scars pulled out and so on, which it certainly did. You've been warned. And, you know, all in all, it's, what did I say to Morgan on the way out? I was fucked. I was fucked up. Right back. Warfare.
How's it going?
Going well.
That's that new guy energy.
Uh-huh. Oh, he's back. That's the fourth fucking time he's done that.
Is he peeking and probing?
Speaking with serious intent to probe.
Alpha 2, we might have guys starting to move on our position.
Copy, we're getting a buildup of activity here too.
Yeah, I definitely see weapons at this point.
Yeah, we have definite massing.
Six Romeo, we need evac at our last known position.
We have severely wounded.
Who's the severely wounded?
It's not you.
It's me.
Who is it?
No, it's not you.
No, it isn't.
Copy one. We're in contact two.
You coming to you or you coming to us?
Damn right.
We'll let you know when we're inbound.
5 minutes, over.
The scouts are going to lead us out, and I'm bringing up the rear. Pop smoke.
Smoke out.
We are all coming back.
OP-1, they are en route to you.
3 minutes out! 3 minutes!
Eyes on me and only me.
Has anyone looked at you?
I'm fucked up.
2 minutes out! 2 minutes!
Where are you guys?
Look for the blood and the smoke!
Multiple bad guys trying to get to our position.
Inbound! Inbound!
Find cover!
1 minute out! 1 minute!
We have enemy on our building and all surrounding buildings.
Roger that. Stand by. Going hot.
You gotta get ready, man. This is gonna hurt.
On my count. One.
Two, three. There you go.
What's the difference?
Start to play another. I didn't ask for this. Most guys don't like war movies, veterans specifically, I mean, because they're usually fucking not. They're like offensively unrealistic. It's stupid. There's just shit that, you know, you can't enjoy it or you can't. What did I say? I didn't even necessarily enjoy the movie because of my own personal circumstances. I don't think enjoy is the right word. There are some minor things that I found were a little like, but one, it's a SEAL unit, and two, I mean, every unit is different. They have different cultural kind of the way they do things, but it's just some of the stuff I saw them doing in the movie. I was like, I don't think I've ever seen anyone do anything like that until like at least 2012, 14, like some of the maneuvers and things they were doing. I'm like, maybe the SEALs were doing that in 2006. I don't know. But I know they have staff and trainers and stuff trying to teach them how to move and do shit properly to make it look realistic, which they did. It just looked more modern than 2006. But again, I don't know. Very minor fucking thing, right? This is real schizo. Like I'm looking at it with a fucking like this is the version of me going like this. I'm not sure that's exactly how you would carry a weapon at the high port in those days. You're like, okay, relax, big fella. Just chill out. Other than that, you know, it was pretty solid, and the best you can hope for is that, you know, you want it to be realistic because you want it to be respectful of what happened, because it's essentially a movie about your own life, you know. I mean, I wasn't there on that operation, but speaking on the behalf of the community for a moment, if I may, that was that war in that time period was like the formative years of our lives. Like us being there and surviving that and being a part of it has had a it's one of the most significant things that'll ever happen to you in your life. Like there's you know, it's a very, very important part of your story that has had it's deeply personal. And if somebody is just, you know, having fun with it, it's like it's disrespect, because again, it's not like we were on a hockey team, you know, like our fucking friends are dead and they died in bad ways and we remember them like it was fucking yesterday. And when you watch a movie like that, if it's done well and if it's done properly like this one was, you'll actually be able to smell things, you know, just for a second, or think you can. And it's actors were pretty good. If I had a complaint, I would say it was too short. It's an hour and a half, hour 35 minutes. It's pretty quick. I would have liked to see that for 2.5 hours. I would have probably, if it was a miniseries, like, again, I wouldn't say that I enjoyed it, but it's, I don't know. You kind of have to see it in a way. It's very weird. So if you're interested at all, if you wanted to see that and say, was that anything? Was that kind of realistic? Yes, very much so. It certainly was. Yeah, to the point that it was kind of disturbing. It was kind of unsettling and anxiety inducing a little bit. There is one scene in particular towards the middle of the movie that is you know, I don't really know how to some guys get blown up, which is something that all of us probably have experienced. Either been blown up or watched somebody blow up or had to help a guy that had been blown. Like, people get blown up is a big part of that war. That's a very, like, out of nowhere. Surprise! Everyone's been exploded. That's kind of a feature of that particular theater of that time period of that war. It was just, hey, surprise, kaboom. So there is a bit of that. And it's just the way it was done. Was so, I haven't seen it done like that, and it just did a great, it did a great job of, like, as much as you can put it in a movie to try and replicate the what that might feel like to be in and around it. Yeah, I'll leave it at that. It was, you know. Otherwise, if you like war movies, you find them interesting. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's pretty realistic. It's pretty pretty well done. I didn't find anything to be too, like, everything matched. Everything made sense to me. All the weapons, the gear, the fucking, again, some of the little minor things, but yeah, pretty good. And just be aware. If you're like if there's any danger to it, I mean, a normal person is not going to be like, oh my God, it fucking, it's nothing like that. It's because of how specific and accurately done some parts of the movie are, that if you are a veteran or, you know, have any of those experiences, you might find it to be challenging. I'll say that. Just so you're aware. So if you go in there thinking like, oh, this will be fun, and you find yourself sweating and having nightmares later, I fucking warned you. You're mad at me. You told me to watch that movie, and then I fucking relapsed and drank it too far and went downtown and punched the bear. Now I'm in jail. McKenzie told me to do it. Dang Lord! No, don't you turn into a fucking political ad for the liberals. You shit together. You can't handle it. Don't go. Stop drinking. All right. Let's go back to some of these chats now. 613 guy says 350 Muslims held a feast and prayer in Windsor Castle. Oh, boy. Pretty disturbing. If you've seen it, I haven't. Ancestors rolling their graves. Royals unbothered and even supportive of the event. Yeah, they're not even human anymore, man. Epoxy Bear says, growing up in the U.S., the adults would always say all the Mideast wars were over oil. TV, Bin Laden, 2016, I found out that oil was the spoils of the war. The real war was expansion of Israel. Yeah. It's like, oh, it's just about oil. It's like, well, that's part of it. It's not. It's like, I don't know why. I never used to make, like, it's probably a confidence and insecurity thing. I don't know. I don't know why. But it bothered me or made me uncomfortable when people used to make, like, sex jokes. Right? And I never would do that. I don't know why. But not anymore. And I've done it a lot in the last couple of years, last several years. I apologize. Infantry. I mean, we're animals. But, this is like, you know, oh, yeah, it was just about oil. That's what the war is all over. It's like, well, that's like saying to get, you know, you're trying to get laid so you can, like, I really want to smell her perfume. It's really nice. And you're like, yes, but that is not the you know what I'm saying? This isn't real. I mean, it doesn't hurt, and we certainly appreciate it, and that's great, but if there's no perfume, we're still fucking going in. You see what I'm saying? This is still happening. This is just a nice on top of that's kind of how that works. I mean, that's kind of, there's a lot of things you could point to and say, but it's not the real issue, is it? It's not really the main event. Very truthful, CRJ, which is, says, Jenstein sprinkles when he tinkles, just FYI, when on mission, main MSR for those pee pants scenarios. There. How about that? Birthday party's over. I was waiting for a reason anyway. I knew he would give me one sooner or later. Fucking walked right into it. Who wants to drive through the cactus patch? Me. No. Two gets one. If you don't know all the Simpsons jokes, you're probably not cool. It's like, I remember how old I was when I watched that episode. Sideshow Bob is hanging on under the car. Homer says he wants to drive through the cactus patch, and the kids both say me, and he yells no. It's like, only two of your kids can talk, and it just, who gets one, drives into the cactus. It was magical. It was a magical time. That show was always great for a while. It was just so dependably hilarious for like 8 years in a row. What they've taken from us. Zainal says, how is Phillips' plan to embed bacon grease-coated infiltrators into halal and kosher food processing plants going? Came to me in a nightmare of fire and screaming goats. I don't want to know anything about that. In fact, I don't know if that's even true. And if it is, for legal reasons, I can't know anything about it. Deporter says, Rule 1, once deportation is made, is final. Rule 2, no passports. Rule 3, Jeets ride in the trunk. Whatever can contain this, we're going to need new liners. We're going to need, don't use vehicles with expensive interiors. Because Jerry Seinfeld did a whole episode about this. Jerry Seinfeld was the first guy to notice any jeetery. You don't remember that episode where he gave his car to the valet who was Indian and they could never get the smell out. He said it was the beast. It defeated him. There was no end to it. The car was ruined, essentially. That was the 90s, right? Like, we were warned. We had every opportunity. Jensine says, fuck you, make me Friday. CRJ wants to wear your dead skin mask. Well, we'll see who's wearing who for a mask. And he says, throw CRJ in that pool that pig got with taxpayer money or take his wrench, your call. We can do both. We can easily do both. What? No, the jersey is still where it is. Definitely not on the floor. Fuck, buddy. No potential battle of Alberta in the playoffs. Probably no lease in the Habs either. I think I'll have another bud elbows up, buddy. I fucking... I sympathize with Sideshow Bob in that way. The sports ball, the TV, the television. My greatest enemy! Oh. You think you're such a delightful member of the household, but really you're just a subversive pile of filth. I'm going to steal a nuclear bomb. Oh, there were plenty of brand new bombs, Bob, but you had to go for that 1950s retro charm. Jenstein says, shut up, faggot. Well, no, I'm not going to. In fact, I'm being paid not to. So there. Dirtbag Welder says, Dr. Rage, I don't know what to say. I built a Harley motor today, so that was good. 96 CI. Nice. I don't know how to build any motor, so you're doing better than me. CRJ says, desecration of my portrait is unforgivable. I'm legitimately harmed. That's what I had hoped for. I was hoping that would harm you. That was the reason I did it. I put it up there for you to see it and be happy, so then I could later just rip it down in front of you. So then, when you abuse people... If you just knock them down from where they're standing, they can only fall down from there. But if you build them up, and then knock them down, then you get double the damage because they have to fall gravity, right? This is again 6-7 years of this. This isn't my first day. I can handle these people. The Matrix. Who am I thinking of? Zanel says, "I'm just glad this podcast wasn't called 'The Men Who Stare at Goats.'" Someone whip that up in AI. We could call it that. It's not called anything yet. Stiegel says, "Sideshow Bob was ahead of his time, but he is just a precursor to the day of the break." Sideshow Bob is awesome. He's my favorite character. Oh yes, you people say you want to vote. Say you vote. You say you want to be democratic, but deep down you want a cruel. What do you say? A cruel-hearted Republican who will lower taxes, brutalize criminals, and rule you like a king. Yes, that's right, I cheated. Look at the evidence! Yes, all these binders. Look at my genius! Now, if you don't mind, I have a city to run. Bailiff, arrest the mayor. What? Oh, right, all that stuff I did. Yeah, Sideshow Bob was probably the best character. I love that show. Was so good. I miss it, man. I miss it indeed. All right, we all caught up? Finally, The Rock has come back to election time. You know, before we do, there was an assassination attempt. I knew it was coming. I knew something was coming. I thought they were going to come after me, but it was Philip they tried to kill. There's a headline from the other day, April 11th. People in car going to sacrifice goat fell in river. Four died of drowning. The goat survived. Anything you want to say about this, Phil? What did you do? You drowned them, didn't you? You held them down there. It was heavily implied they were Indian, yeah. Nice try, Cesus. Nice try. Oh, we'll just lure him with some candy and then we'll take him down to this day. Oh, surprise, everyone's dead. Now who's gonna watch Ally McBeal? His eyes are literally glowing red. He liked it, he'll do it again, he's planning to do it again. It's your own fault. Abrupt stop. Abrupt halt. The stream is just... Yeah, it's horrible. I don't know what it's supposed to be. Don't ask me. I was trying to find other chats from way back. I didn't read them. I'm going to go back and do it now. I was like, why do I have two of these windows open? All right! You're not very good at your own job, are you? No. Not. But I'm the only one that does it, so I've cornered the market. All right, so the deport, that's why he said repost. I missed the first one, sorry, man. And then there was Zanel says, I realize they can't afford to give shekels. One shekel is a day's wage. So here's 5 units of fiat currency. Thanks for the mental health session. You're welcome, sir. And CRJ, is this before or after you were publicly admonished? Is it always casual Friday at the RCMP? 10% off at Old Navy with the beer belly button-up shirt, half untucked. 10% off. Wow. Plus the pay raise? Damn. They're going to be styling on that pool. I think those were the only ones I missed. Genesee says, don't trust Cam. I don't trust any of you BC people. You're all like in the woods or something. I don't know what goes on out there. I went out there briefly and it's just, there's a lot of hills and trees. There's a lot of people popping out. That's what I would say. That's what I don't like about you'll be somewhere and then someone will just suddenly, they came out from behind a tree or a rock or down from the mountain or there's a lot of foliage. There's a lot of people just appearing. Even at the Kamloops event, which was like kind of in the middle of nowhere, it was like outside of Kamloops and like very rural. A guy just walked in from somewhere and we're like, where did you come from? He's like, oh, I just saw this off the street. What street? He just appeared. Like, so that's what goes on out there. So no, I don't trust any of the BC people because I don't know. I don't know what their motivations are. I don't know what they're after. I don't know what they want. I don't know. They don't announce themselves. You know, they don't say they're coming. They don't say expect us at this time. They're just there all of a sudden. You're like, fuck. Maybe they've had to learn to adapt this way, to live this way, because Sasquatch, I don't know. I don't know what the reason is. I don't really care what the reason is. I just know it's creepy and weird and it puts people off. And that's why people are either from BC or they're from everywhere else, because it's like... And there's a lot of water holes. Yeah, Ferry will tell you all about that. And there's, you know... Sometimes there's people coming out of there. Are there people? Are they living down there? I don't know. But we'd be there and like, I didn't see anyone arrive, but all of a sudden there's other people here. I don't know where they came from. Did they come out of the water? The trees? Let's leave. I don't know. Let's leave, though. There's a lot of strange encounters with strange people that I weren't sure if they were just organically there or if they were following us, if they were CSIS, or they're just, that's just BC. People just, they pop out of places. I don't know. So no, Cam, Jenstein, any of you. Probably dwarves living in that mountain too. They're probably hiding stuff. BC's. Oh, by the way, guys, if you're in BC, and this is just from experience, and I realize I'm probably the one with the most of it in the country at this point. So being hunted by several federal agencies in a witch hunt for things that don't exist. So it's, on the one hand, somewhat disturbing, but on the other hand, also like retarded because it's like there's nothing to find. So anyway, of all the provinces, BC is the most hysterical. The CSIS police, the BC branch specifically, is fucking schizo. They are top of the pile. Okay, I mentioned earlier, I think, didn't I? Some of the club guys went to take a photo out of, you know, in public property on this specific location because of the reasons I mentioned earlier. And what came out of that was the Dagaloon! What are they planning? They're wearing balaclavas! Like, first of all, that's not what that is. They're not wearing balaclavas. And this was months ago, and you're just noticing this now? And they're... It's... Oh, but I mean, when you give them $100 million to find something that doesn't exist, they got to do something with it, I guess. So I don't know. Do you guys want me to? How about this, CSIS? I'll do like we might as well just bring it down to your level. What's a good children's show? Sesame Street? How about Fred Penner's Place? That was probably my favorite kid show. How about this? Because you guys need to do something with all that money. We'll make scarecrows. We'll make, like, basically effigies, right? We'll put little Daglon flags on them, and we'll tape, like, toy... like Fisher Price, we'll spray paint them so they look like something, like toy guns to them and stuff. And you guys can go get them. We'll hide them around BC in the mountains here, like with Fred Penner. And you guys can go find them. You can go find, and you can report back that we got them. We got, and you can hold up these paper mache, like bobblehead stuff. Like, it's just, I mean, they're human clothes, they're real clothes, but they're filled with like rags and straw, and it's just. And you have them on sticks. We stopped the Dagaloon, you guys! We did it! Yeah! Is that... Should we do that? Will that make... Ugh. We gotta find a way to spend that money somehow. So, I'll do that, maybe. I'll start having scarecrow, you know, we'll put them outside politicians' homes and you'll like, oh my God. And they've got huge dildos taped to them, like just giant dicks. Huge, like the kind that people would order online to use in a movie to like just a really grotesquely huge, like this is not even remotely realistic. That's like a donkey dick. And yeah, but like in their pants though, right? So you'll suspect that that's what that is, but you'll have to check and you'll be like, that's what I thought. Giant dildos, giant, huge dildos. But they're all going to be like white colored too. So you'll be like, the fucking white supremacy with the dicks even. And we'll be like, mm-hmm. Yep. And then you guys can go back to the headquarters. Like, what does it mean? I think they're threatening to rape us. And you can have fun with it. You can go anywhere with it, really. What else can we do, guys? We'll just start with that. We'll start with basically scarecrow terrorists with Dagalon stuff, and they'll have huge cartoonishly giant dildos in their pants and written on some of them will be Latin characters. And coordinates. And you're not going to know where they point to or what it means unless you catch them all. You got to catch them all! Catch all those dagger dicks! And if you don't catch them all, then the terrorists will win. They will strike. So I'm just going to create this kind of children's game for you guys to play since you seemingly don't have anything else to do and you're not going to actually do your fucking jobs. So I'll just create something for you to do and keep you busy as a public service. See, I'm trying to help everybody out all over the place, everywhere I go. I'm just trying to keep it... I'm going to keep it running, you know, because you guys, what are you guys going to do? Sit around all day and report, oh, I got nothing else. It's been weeks. I got nothing to do. I got to watch out. You're going to watch Ally McBeal for the 19th time? No, go find the scarecrow dick terrorists and save Canada before it's too late, Cesus. Okay. I believe in you. I think you can do it. And I think all of those cock-starved lesbians will just have, they'll develop a knack for it. They'll just say, I sense giant dicks are that way. And they'll just. You never know. You might learn something about your own personnel. They may have hidden talents and abilities that you didn't otherwise know. You might find that some of them might actually turn out to be straight after all. So I think this is a win-win. I think we do this, guys. Yeah, we put the sunglasses on them. Hey, over here, Cesus, come check out downstairs. You're going to love it. But also, gun bomb knife. Right? This could also be a veiled threat. And some of these papier-mâché fake scarecrow people might actually be a bomb. So you have to take it totally seriously. They could be bombs. I'm telling you right now, they could be. They could be. So you have to assume that any one of them could be. So this is going to keep you busy for a long time. It's going to be very... This is a big deal now, right? This is worse than the FLQ. And I think all of the scare, none of them should be more than like 5'7", 5'6". They're all suspiciously short. And this is the manlet waffen. You know, Edgy will tell you a little bit about it in the movie whenever it is done. Well, it is done, but we have to fix the whip. We're getting there. I'll let you know. The manlet waffen. They're all 5'6". Some of them might explode. They all have giant dongs with codes written on them in Latin and in latitude, longitude coordinates, which are going to... you know, tell you where the fortress is, where the compound is. You guys have been looking for the compound. I have three different witnesses that told me you're looking for a compound of some kind that I don't know that exists. I wish I had a compound. If there is one, please let me know. I'd love to have a compound. But we're going to tell you where it is with the dick drawn on coordinate. But again, you have to find all of them. You don't find all of them, you're never going to know. It's going to be like the Zodiac puzzle. You're not going to be able to solve it. It's not going to make any sense. You're going to come to work like you're out of your mind. You're talking in broken English. Your wife's worried about you. And she's like, honey, give up on this Dagalon puzzle. And you're like, no, this is, I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to get some more perfume. And then when the crows are ready, I can have the toaster strudel and it'll all be in the cereal. And she's like, what the fuck are you talking, right? Like, that's going to be you if you don't solve the puzzle. So I think you should get on. Find who you think is a fake lesbian. I think they may have the best ability to detect and search out, you know. I spent enough time on this already. I'm giving you guys too many hints, so just prepare for the next stage of the terror operation, which is Operation Manlet Giant Dong Hidden Latin Longitude Coordinates that point to something that may or may not exist. Gun bomb knife. Go. Get put. What are you doing? Go. It's now. It's right now. They're doing it right now. They're doing it right now. Schizo's out there right now, doing it right now. They've already got 6 or 7 assembled, I've been told. I'm getting texts about it, right, like in real time. Look how many notifications I have on my phone. This, you're wasting valuable time. All right, so now that we don't trust British Columbia and everyone knows how out of their minds it ceases is out there, and now they've got a whole new task to fund. Remember when we were like, let's tag rocks and see if they start a task force, and they did in Nova Scotia. They did. They had like a team to find out who's spray painting all these rocks and stuff. There's missing people. Right? That's my point. All you're doing is further solidifying me in the eyes of everyone who believes and listens to everything that I say. Because there's people missing, and you're like, well, but spray paint. We got a fucking, you're a joke. You're a fucking clown show. Okay? And if, maybe I will follow through on this scarecrow terror fucking, because that would probably be a national story. You'd probably ask for a budget increase, and you'd, like, it would be the dumbest fucking thing anyone's ever seen. And making Canadian state authorities do the dumbest shit you've ever seen, for me, is like having a player piano. I can just press a key, and I've got all kinds of ones I can press here. Like this one.
Bloody fuck you, bloody!
And there you go. You get the. It's just. It just happens. Right? Right, guys? CRJ says, restore my porch or I'm canceling your Airbnb. This is like defacing a Kim Jong-un statue. I can't replace. It's been crushed and thrown into the abyss. Restore my faith in humanity after the amount that you've stolen from me with your grotesque gift chats, whatever you want to call them. You'll suffer for this. We will see. All right, so Cease is out of the way. We're running out of time. It's getting late, but we got to talk about this stupid gay election. The British cops is a whole other thing. So yeah, speaking of the election, there is this. Kind of important.
In Canada?
This is an older video, but relevant, and I'll tell you why in a minute.
We need to save free speech.
The most totalitarian bill I've ever seen.
The Online Harms Act.
To counter online harms.
Bill C-63.
This is Bill Communism 63.
We've seen the frozen bank accounts, political prisoners, and the constant policing of speech happening more and more in Canada.
I'm confident with the Online Harms Act in law, we can build safe online communities.
These lying politicians aren't trying to keep people safe. They're trying to pass more laws to make it easier to silence you, fine you, and throw you in jail for having the wrong opinion.
You lose all your autonomy and your freedom.
A crackdown on the very idea of free speech.
This is what the Online Harms Act will do.
But we are going to fight back. At SaveFreeSpeech.ca, we are creating informative, entertaining, and shareable videos to ring the alarm bells across the country. We need to build the biggest megaphone possible because this is something that the entire country needs to hear about.
And they're putting at risk our kids.
Lies, incompetence, and corruption are becoming way too common in Canadian institutions. And we, the people, need the right to talk about it. Our videos will break down the laws, how they violate our speech, and the groups and organizations responsible for pushing this despicable censorship. With your help, the content we make at SaveFreeSpeech.ca will give Canadians like you the resources to fight back. Donate to our campaign and visit SaveFreeSpeech.ca for more information. And we've already set up a quick and easy way for you to email your member of parliament at our website to let them know that you disagree and disapprove
they
of
don't
this
care.
Censorship. We can reverse this Orwellian nightmare happening in Canada. And with your support, together, we can save free speech.
So,
thank you.
The bill in question here that Greg and others are referring to is the Online Safety Act, or whatever they're calling it now. First, it was the anti-hate bill. And then it was divided up into multiple portions and different. So the important thing is about this is that the Liberal government intends to get this done as a priority. So if they are to win the election, they've said, Carney has said and doubled down, I think twice, that is going to be pursued as a priority immediately. And everything the Liberals have done has been after they've said they were going to do it. There is no reason to think that when they say they're going to do something that they won't. They always do what they say they're going to do every single time. So when they say we're going to make law that we can put you in jail for life because things you said on the internet were harmful, I believe them. I believe them. And it could be a minority government, could be majority. It depends. We'll see what happens. But that is some of the penalties that it carries. Life in prison is potential. You know, I don't know if it's 20 or 25 years in Canada, regardless, a preposterous, cartoonish amount of time. Massive fines, $10,000, $20,000 for tweets and Facebook posts and all these kinds of things. And, you know, people are like, oh, they're never going to enforce me. What they will do, and what the purpose of this kind of legislation and activity is to create a chill effect, which silences dissent and opinion and anything like that, because it's just too scary to do it. And you make it too scary by nailing a couple of heads to the wall, like mine. And the intended target is me. I'm not saying this because of an ego or anything. This is because they've said this invariably. The authors of this nightmare are the Jewish supremacist lawyers at the Canadian Anti-Hate Network, who have been fixated on me for 6 years now. And when you read the language of the bill, it is very clear that it is directed at people just like me. They might as well have put my name in it. They didn't, but so that's the plan with that. So if they win, that will be reintroduced and passed fairly quickly, I would guess. At which point, I will have to make some very radical calibrations. I'll put it that way. Some extreme measures will have to be taken at that point. I'm not going to say what those are. It's just not smart to advertise to your enemies what your moves and what you intend to do when you're fighting. They aim to put me in jail forever for talking. That's what the point of that is. And everybody like me. Just get a few. And everybody will shut up. Yes, they will. Because they do not want to go through that. You're not going to want to go through years of that and court and trials and appeals and fundraising and you know, bail denied and crazy restrictions. And no, look, this is the UK. You think it's not going to happen. This is the United Kingdom right now.
That were made this morning.
This morning, what made this morning?
And of my officers that have been round this evening.
Right, and
so I'm here to kindly ask that you remove said videos from social media.
I don't think I've broke the law, so I don't think I will.
And also, I want to advise you that you might well be committing offences under the Malicious Communications Act, okay?
Okay, it's 2:30 in the morning. Can I ask why, for a second time tonight, you are disturbing me and my son in my home?
Good stuff, you know, so this is just kind of the day-to-day over there. Of course, no one's surprised. This has been going on for quite a long time. In Spain, Spanish activist Isabel Peralta, known for her statements such as "This is not migration, it's an invasion," and "Spain is Christian, not Muslim," has reportedly been sentenced to prison for inciting discrimination and hatred. You know, for talking, for saying things that are true. So jail, right? This is very real. This is what's happening, and we're next. Canada is next. We're the next kid on the block to make it illegal to talk. I've been warning people about this for years since I've sat down. And they tried it in 2020. They tried to put something like this in the 2021 election. Trashed it. So if there's any bills on the table that they're trying to pass, it all gets scrapped when there's an election. So they go in the toilet and you got to start all over again. Ooh, it's that cake and cashews and a cookie. I'm going to be okay, guys. I texted you to order me a pizza, but maybe this will do. Nothing's open, isn't it? It's Friday night. Why would anybody? Oh, it's Tuesday. I thought it was Friday. I don't know. See what I'm saying? I live in a world of despair and madness. Okay, I don't even know what day it is. Oh, we need to. Anyway, okay. So this is what's happening. They're putting people in jail for talking, and it's becoming the norm. The United States is making moves on it as well, and they're cheering it. They're actually. What are you building over there? We're supposed to. You're not supposed to build the bombs after the stream. There shouldn't be any evidence. They're going to hear this. Don't put the soldering gun down. I don't know what she's doing. Distracted. I don't remember what I was talking about. Getting censored and put in prison forever. If the liberals win, that's what's going to happen. They're gonna put that through because they're not going to get. Won't be long. This is one of the first things they want to do. And it's because they know everyone's going to be real upset with how things are progressing in the future. You may remember earlier in the year or late last year, there was a leaked report from the RCMP detailing how when Canadians realize how they are, they're going to lose their minds. The establishment is well aware of the deteriorating situation. And instead of trying to repair it or fix it, or they're just trying to manage it. Like, let's keep people from doing it. Let's just hold them in place while they get, you know, slashed to ribbons. Just hold them right there. That's what they've decided to do instead. So they're aware that everyone's going to lose their minds when they realize how bad this is going to, like, it's going to get really bad. So in advance of that, also the guns are banned now, by the way. And Carney has inferred he's going to perform confiscations, which... Again, all these same guys are like, oh, man, if they ever came to my... Calm down. You put the mask on. How many boosters you got? When the Mounties come to your door and say, give me your guns, you're going to give them to them. Okay? Yes, you are. Most overwhelmingly. 97% of you guys are going to do that. So let's just cut the shit, all right? If you don't want to have that happen, I suggest you lose them somehow in the interim. Because I really don't think most of these people are going to have the stones to... make a final stand on the front porch in front of a SWAT team. They're just, you know, going to grumble and go, oh, we're going to sue them in court, right? That's what the fake controlled opposition will tell you. We're going to challenge it with a challenge in a court. It's over, right? You're done. So guns are gone. And now, before the carnage begins... there will be no more talking. There will be no more complaining. There will be no more any of this. It's going to be illegal in Canada. Carries a life sentence, actually. Okay? There is anonymous reporting. It's a nice feature where you can just be anonymously reported by someone who you will never be... it'll never be revealed who that person is. So you don't have the right to face your accuser anymore. And it could just be the police. The police can complain about you anonymously to themselves and then go get... right? And that you've offended, they've been harmed. They've been harmed online by something you said, and therefore you're going to jail. There was even talk and attempts to make, like, retroactive penalties. Where it's like, how has this worked? So, you could delete everything you've ever uploaded, but someone saved some of it and put it on another website somewhere else. You're still responsible for that because you originally uploaded and put it on the internet and you're responsible for getting it all down. And because you didn't, there, it's still there. It's still your fault. Bing, bang, boom. You're going to jail. Isn't that nice? It's a great system. And there's anonymous reporting and there's no way to redress it. There's no oversight. There's no way to define. What do you mean hate? How do you legislating that? It's fucking lunacy. It's Soviet Union level lunacy, and it demands an appropriate response. But unfortunately, in this country, there are no men left with the ball sack that is required to organize a response of the magnitude that is necessary for something of this level of crazy. For now. So in the meantime, we're just going to see how much further into Soviet hell we descend into. So that's really the only reason I care about the election at all, is how much imminent danger I'm in personally. And, you know, people are, oh yeah, man, me too. I'm going to get fucking, no, Barry, your Facebook page with some spicy memes that get taken down, you're not on a government watch list. That's just the algorithm, you know. I'm not, my face is literally on a board. And my friends and associates, like, there is a task force after me for years now. And they're spending, you know, a considerable amount of resources and energy on this. Still, desperate to find anything, because it's just a political witch hunt. And because they can't get anything, now they need new laws to make what I'm doing illegal so they can get me, and then I can be a criminal. And then they can put me in jail forever. They're such pathetic cowards. It's like kind of upsetting you didn't get somebody more worthy to fight with. Like, this is what we're to contend with. Ugh. It's kind of being a garbage man, maybe. Is that a banana? What are you just bringing me? I'm trying to work here. Stop bringing groceries. I gotta go. There's food piling up now. I wanted pizza, but apparently it's not Friday. It's actually Tuesday, and I'm actually 58 years old. I don't know what. I've been having a lot of strokes and seizures, I think. I don't know what day or time or decade this is. Am I dead? Is this hell? She says yes. It very well would be. Very well may be. So, you know, good times, guys. I know nobody. I never heard about it. Because nobody cares. Nobody's talking about it. They're talking about abortions. And, oh my God, Mark Carney fabricated a document. Oh, Jagmeet is jumping up and down. I don't fucking care about any of that. They're about to turn this into a Soviet-level police state, where they can just, anyone can complain about you and put you in jail, and that's that. You can get fucking disappeared now in this country. Isn't that good? National security. It'll be a national security. Oh, you had to. Of course you did. Emergency. This was kind of funny, though. This is what the conservatives are mad about. He doesn't Slava Israel enough. Demand that Carney clarify his genocide remarks. Can you clarify? Yeah, Melissa, you're a bloodthirsty genocidal maniac. Melissa Lantzman is probably a war criminal. Definitely in the realm of war criminal. I think you could probably make a case for that. All you need to do, I was like, we can just prepare how about an hour. Do you think a jury could sit through an hour of the uploaded by the IDF war crimes? Did you know that 75% of the dwellings in Gaza have been destroyed? Not 7, not 5, 75. And I don't mean damaged, I mean gone. Gone. So the policy is to destroy, there's nothing for them to come back to. There's nothing there. They can't live there, they can't survive there, so they will stay away. Whoever they don't kill will stay away because there's nothing to come back to. This is textbook genocide. Textbook. And what the conservatives are concerned about is that Carney accurately said that's what it was, and said that's why we have an arms embargo. So good thing you guys are keeping your eye on the ball there. That's totally worth everyone's time. Right on cue. When did I talk about this last? Let's lower the again, right? 16-year-olds should vote. I talk with this all the time, and then people are like, oh, they're not trying to do that. Yes, they are. Everything I'm concerned about it because I saw it or heard it come out of the mouths of one of these creatures. Why is it black? Strange. It's not black for me. It's some guy talking. Brian Kingston? Who cares? Oh, Jaden? I'm going to try to be nice. But Jaden here, 16, says being unable to vote in this federal election is a disappointment. He'd like to be one of the last young Canadians to be left out of the conversation. Braves and the organization he leads, Young Politicians of Canada. This isn't a good start, Jaden. Want to see the federal voting age lowered to 16. He's involved with Vote 16 Canada, has a motion before Toronto City Council that would extend municipal voting rights to 16 and 17-year-olds. That's what's fair. That's what represents constitutional democracy. That's what will protect our future at large. Jaden, you're a child, though, right? Hey, Jaden, do you even shave? Huh? Jaden, my boy. No, shut up. You need to go get a job. You need to go develop and learn and become an adult man first before you even dream of thinking you know what the fuck you're talking about. A certain guy, peculiar facial hair, once said that people shouldn't get into politics until they're at least 30. That's probably good advice. And I'm sure there are arguments, well, I'm the youngest, and the future is mostly mine, so therefore I have the most to lose. And therefore, you're a 16-year-old, and the idea that you should have a say is laughable. In fact, I think the voting age should be 25, at least. Barring some exemptions I've talked about in the past. Why not 14? Because if 16-year-olds can vote, why not 14-year-olds? Why not 12-year-olds? Why not? Because if 16-year-olds can vote, why not 14-year-olds? Why not 12? Scream. The Liberals win. Majority victory. Yay. Expanding the amount of people eligible to vote is not a good. It is not an advantage. This is not a good development. Voting rights should be reserved for the people that deserve to have it, not just given away to everyone because you exist and you get to have a say in things that you don't understand and can't comprehend and have no idea what's going on. We're going to protect the future at large. Cool. What does that even mean, Jaden? Politicians have been debating whether to lower the voting age for decades. Right, because younger people who are ignorant of how the world works, as I was when I was 16, are much easier to manipulate. So if you have more people that are easier to manipulate, you can further guarantee victory in the future, Jaden. You're not trying to manipulate and trick a bunch of 40-year-old men who've been around the block a couple of times and know bullshit when they see it. They've got lots of 15 and 16-year-olds who believe whatever the fuck they're told because they won't know the difference anyway. And there's more of them than there are those 40-year-old guys. So they win and they lose. And there you go. Universal basic digital ID and hate speech laws and endless wars and all kinds of shit like that because you saw it in a movie and it sounded like a good idea, didn't it, Jaden? Whoever your dad is, I want to fight him. I want to physically fight your dad. You're too young, Jaden, but your dad needs to get fucking beat up, Jaden. Jaden, your dad needs to get beat the fuck up. So I want your dad to contact me and tell me where he is so I can do that. And then hopefully with that level of shame now in his system, he will turn around and then apply that to you and actually demand that you, perform to some kind of standard in approaching manhood rather than just running around as a 16-year-old thinking you should tell everybody how the country works and the young politicians of this is what I'm saying. This culture of like being a politician is a career. No, that a politician is not it's not a career. It's not a thing you do. Literally anybody could be a politician. You know what being a politician is? Watch this. Hey, what do you think? What do you think we should do about the stuff? Blah, 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 blah. Those are all really good ideas, actually. All right, put him in there. Done. Where did you go to school for all these good ideas? He's just a grown man. He's just a person with a good head on their shoulders and can make decent managerial decisions based on life experience and personal responsibility and striving for achievement and so on. Stuff like that. They act like this is rocket science. There were people that ruled kingdoms that were illiterate. Okay? Do you think managing large systems of people is easier back then or more difficult? Or the same? Even if it's the same. No education, no, not just their wits. Yeah? Well, King Henry didn't even have a poli sci degree. some of the best leaders in human history have just been regular people who got thrown into insane circumstances. No training, no background, no lineage, nothing. They just made the best. Oh, look! It's actually not that fucking hard to do your shit. Being a politician is so easy, a fucking ostrich could do it. And when somebody tries to ask you a question you don't want to answer, you just say, my dog died, and you run away, like Darren Fisher did earlier this evening. Right? It's easy. Oh, Jaden's dad is in for it now. I'm going to put that on a shirt. Bring me Jaden's father. You know? Gotta get the lid out of the damn libs. It's all the friggin' libs. Only the damn libs.
Our plan will effectively establish a price on carbon of $65 a ton, growing to that rate over the next decade.
Yeah. Like, picture that for hours. That's how much of that shit is out there. Hours. Well, the Conservative Party, you believe whatever the fuck you think you should say on any given day, depending on which way the wind is blowing. Stop. None of you believe anything. You don't believe anything. You're just trying to win a game, and you're not even good at it. You can't even win. They seem to be losing, which is not good news for me. Put it that way. Surprise! Life in prison. Like, oh, well, this shit's going to get interesting now. And again, you want to see what our future looks like, just look across the ocean. Not that much different over there. Where we were in the past, they're ahead of us. They're closer to the source. They're affected first. Imagine like you catch a virus or something, right? And you've just been sick for a day. And you're like, fuck, this is shitty. Like, what? Well, how bad is this going to get? And you're like, yeah, you see that guy over there? That's Great Britain. He's had it for a week. And he's like, oh, yeah, okay. And we have the same thing? Yeah. You know, you get the same virus. Oh, well, I'm not going to get like him because, like, I just see red, bro, and I fucking... Yeah, that's what France said. He's over there. Yeah, it... You got to react or you're going to get fucked. That's what happens there. Have you seen Sweden? Yeah, they're not doing very good either. Not doing very good either. Where's Germany? They're not here right now. They're being looked after at an institution, actually. It's not good. It's not a good prognosis. In the UK, a Somalian criminal is allowed to stay in the UK because deporting him would stress him out. That's what the judge ruled. An incredulous case, they say. The British justice system has decided in its infinite wisdom a Somali criminal would be allowed to stay in the UK because returning to his home country would cause him too much stress. Mm-hmm. Okay. Don't deport. It's stressful. Oh. Do you suppose having little children stabbed to death in the street is stressful for anyone, or... Like, if I wanted to go on Facebook and say, this is stressful, am I going to get arrested? Are you going to come to my house at 2 a.m? Like a fucking psychopath? Because I'm upset that people are getting murdered where I live? But he's stressed out. What's going on here? Could this have anything to do with it? The United Kingdom police being forced to undergo training to accept their white privilege. There's been a very strong, at times bordering on aggressive response from white officers. Oh, no, you better stay on that border. You white officers, you better stay there. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. Don't you dare mutiny. Don't you dare go rogue. Don't you dare save the British public from destruction. Don't you dare do your job. Who would pay for your pool then? The Telegraph reports that the Thames Valley Police is putting officers through the training despite a tribunal last year, finding that the force positively discriminated against white officers. It does? It's teaching them to hate themselves and hate white people. And what's this? Whites need not apply. British police force blocks applications from white people. White applicants from British or Eastern European backgrounds are at a disadvantage when applying for entry-level police constable roles. Really? Just like in Canada? Huh. Emerge that West Yorkshire Police permits Black, Asian, and Minority Ethnic, BAME. Oh, that's your version. Oh, hi, UK. In Canada, we call it BIPOC, Black and Indigenous People of Color. You guys have BAME, Black, Asian, and Minority Ethnic. Okay. You all get your little acronyms to say everybody but you. Everybody but you. Over here and you over there. All right, now fight. Fight. In your own house. It's great. Police force claims the move is designed to boost diversity numbers. It's to get white cops off the payroll. Because the more obviously targeted towards white people this gets, the less likely white cops are going to want to go along with it. So once they've kind of don't need them anymore, we shove them out the door and we replace them with the endless hordes of migrant men we're bringing in every day. In fact, we've already dropped and eliminated some of the standards that would stop these people from getting into places like the military and the police, like aptitude testing and fitness testing, psychological testing. That's going away. Why is that? Well, because these people wouldn't pass those things. And then how are we going to have a whole bunch of Somalian cops to enforce our thought crime legislation on the further and increasingly pressured and ostracized and punished white population of the country? They're not just trying to figure this out now. They've thought about this 10 years ago. And we're now on page whatever of the playbook. And we're next. That's the UK now. And people will say, oh, I'm glad I don't live there. Oh, well, just give it, maybe 6 months. Maybe 6 months, and it'll be just like there. Or if you say the wrong thing, you go to jail. And if you complain about the wrong thing, you go to jail. And if you try to get a job in there and sort it out from the inside, you're not allowed to. You're white. I was rejected from jobs because I was white. Twice. What they said. Didn't fit the hiring profile. We're looking for minorities, women, people of color. Yeah, but I passed all the thing. Yeah, but sorry, you don't look right. Right? So I don't care about what your fucking stories. I'm persecuted. I'm fucking okay. I was lied to when I was a child, farmed into a professional murder outfit for a war that didn't make any sense, paid virtually nothing, poisoned by my own government, sent around the world to slaughter people that had nothing to do with me, left for dead, essentially, released from the military, fend for yourself, come to realize this is all a lie and bullshit, and try to alert people, and then be attacked by your own country for doing so. And when you try to find a different line of employment and work to try and find a different way to do, well, you're not allowed to do that now because we actually hate you. We don't want you, white guys, war veteran, white. We don't want you involved in any of this anymore. Yeah, I wouldn't know anything about being discriminated against or persecuted in any way. I wouldn't know. I'm just a white guy. I know a hell of a lot more about it than these fucking protesters downtown. I'll tell you that right now. You want to see privilege? It's down there. What are you living on? State money, right? Welfare? Yeah? You like those pills you're sucking down every day? Guess who pays for that? Me. I do. We all do. And you get to stand there and act like a fucking cretin all day long. One, two, three, four. That's privilege, right? In an old society where everyone had to pull their weight, like, you would just be eliminated. You just wouldn't get fed. You understand? Like, no one would feed you. They'd say, find your own food, and you don't know how to do that. You can't do anything for yourself. Without daddy's state, like, you're fucked. You're fucked. And you would be. That's why you wouldn't exist. That's why people like you didn't exist then, because there was no fucking freeloaders. Wasn't tolerated. Now it's encouraged. And you think it's an achievement or an accomplishment of some kind. And you're ready to bash the fuck. You're an ice cream cone on a conveyor belt to hell. And you have no idea. But that's going to be very, very good content for us in the future. I'm very much looking forward to it. It'll be a good time. Anything else I want to get to before I get the fuck out of here? Right. Carney sucks. Of course he does. Oh, right. And then there's this this stuff. While you're, you know, doing my election and my campaign, my politician and my Darren Fisher, and put up my yard sign and all that. How many of them told you to get vaccinated? Everybody, right? Every single one of them did?
As a doctor, I have never seen something so injurious to the human body. It invades the brain. It invades the heart. It causes brain and heart damage. It invades the bone marrow. It stimulates antibodies to actually start to attack our own platelets and our other cells in our body. It causes blood clotting and damage to blood vessels like we've never seen. Like we've never seen. Data from University of Pittsburgh suggesting it causes cancer. Since when do we have a protein that actually injures the brain, injures the heart, the bone marrow, the immune system, causes blood clotting, and potentially causes cancer in a single protein? It's a weapon. In fact, there are three papers, one by Farkas, published in Military Medicine, and two by Yen, published in preprint. They've actually concluded it is a bioweapon. It is a bioweapon. According to strict military criteria, it's a bioweapon. As a doctor, I have never...
You're not wearing the schmuck. You're not on TV. You don't have the stethoscope. Like, nobody... You're not even the top doctor, so, like, nobody's going to listen to you. I mean, he was, like, a world expert before he had the wrong opinion, and then now he doesn't matter, right? How many of the politicians running for office told you to get that? Is that on the election? Is that one of the things they're talking about? Because I know Carney probably lied about he cheated on a test 200 years ago when he was just baby Dracula. He was first learning how to drink human blood. Yeah, it's a big deal. Yeah, and Pierre was in a picture with me. I know, it's a big deal. Anybody care where the money went? $200 billion. That's just... Are we missing $1 trillion? How many criminal elements are loose in our country now that we don't have control over that are actively gobbling up real estate, territory, resources, lives? How many? What's being done about that? Bail reform. There's nowhere to put them, Pierre. There's no room. All the jails are full, and you're bringing millions of people in here every year. In fact, we're actually getting all the extras that America doesn't want.
And this is an actual CBSA regular crossing, but they're seeing several more instances of asylum claimants and coming through there and putting in applications since the start of this year, since Donald Trump was inaugurated as U.S. president in January. So taking a look at their numbers here, we see that in January, they received 560 asylum applications at that particular crossing. The next month, February, 755 crossings. After that, 1,356 asylum applications from
people. This isn't the total of the country. This is one particular border crossing in St. Bernard. De La Colle in Quebec.
People crossing over. And then at the start of this month, April, they only have the data up to April 6th so far, already 557 asylum applications at that crossing, which is almost the same number for all of January. Also, that is a pace of about 92 people laying asylum.
Asylum from what?
Claims per day, which would mean if they continue on pace, they'll have about 2,760 asylum claims at...
Asylum from the United States government deporting them for being an illegal criminal. It's a crime to enter America illegally. That's why they're being deported. So they're claiming asylum from justice in America, the country that they violated. Just want to be clear.
that particular crossing by the end of the month. This, as Andrew mentioned, has been a hot topic on the campaign trail today.
Has it?
Especially in Quebec, certainly, but across Canada, immigration is an issue that everyone and every political leader is certainly talking about.
No, they're not. No, they're not. Everyone wants deportations, and none of the political leaders will entertain any of that. They're not going anywhere near that. That's their voting. And why? Why are they doing this? Why is this the Conservative Party now? Do you know why? Because most of the seats that you need to win a federal election in Canada are pretty much just in Toronto and Montreal. So if you win Toronto and Montreal, you win. There's really no point. They outnumber everyone else. Anything different about Toronto and Montreal? Ottawa even, you know, than there maybe there used to be? Like a lot of ethnic minorities now are actually the majority of people in Toronto. So to win, they have to placate to them or they can't win. So not stopping that we're losing control of the country, just adapting to it so that they personally can win at their elections and make more money and so on. In you know, just a total admission physically that this is what's going on when they've completely changed the makeup of their own parties to reflect the reality of what's happening on the ground. The reason that the Canadian political parties look like that now is because that's what the Canadian people, air quotes, who need to vote, look like now. But if you better not say anything about it. Mark Carney gets his way. It's maybe you do 10 years in prison. Depends on how harmful what you said online. What depends on how much online harm you did. We need safe communities online. Safe. You need to be safe. Safe from what? Words, noises, images, information. Safe from information is what they're saying. So they're suggesting information is harmful. You can be harmed by images, sounds, and information. Words, thoughts, ideas can harm you, says the government. And because of this, we must impose the harshest of prison sentences on people who pass, create, and disseminate information, sounds, and images that we deem to be harmful, and we deem them to be harmful if politically we don't like it. That's where you live now. This is Canada now, 2025. Brave new world, built back better. We're all in this together. And in the United States, they're talking about deporting citizens now, to some extent. It's not going to stop. There's not going to be a point where we've reached the maximum level of government force and authority and meddling, okay? We're past that. They've already crossed the Rubicon, and the old standards from what you just don't do, those are all gone. That's all over. That's all over. There is no rule. There is no right. There's no charter. There's no amendment that they won't step on, that they won't tread, that they have any respect for. Doesn't exist anymore. All there is now is the pursuit of power and control in a world that is becoming increasingly powerless to the individual and out of control to everyone. So this is a recipe for disaster, isn't it? The harder they try to regain control and impose their will, the more it will fracture and fall apart, which then produces another cycle of laws and attempts at control. Why do we have these law hate speech and what is this? Well, because people are complaining about the things we were already doing. So now we need new laws to cover that, which will create more problems. So we'll create more laws to cover that. And then I think the next big thing you'll see is people trying to leave Canada, and then they'll make laws around that where, well, you're not allowed to leave, because in communist countries, you have to pay to leave. There's actually penalties and fees. Like, you have to pay to leave. And that is what Canada will do next. If, you know, it's not stopped, there's no reason to think it will be anytime soon. It will be like a tax you'll have to pay to leave the country. Call it an immigration fee or something. And it's not like $100. It probably like $20,000 or something, $50,000. It'll be so enough that regular people cannot do that. And this will be to deter people from leaving, because people will want to leave the worse that it gets. And now that they can't leave, they're really going to want to leave. And we're going to have to punish those. So we're going to need, you see where I'm going with this? They're not going to stop. They're not going. There's no point that's going to be reached. They go, there, we've done it. We've achieved. Now we're just going to stay here. That's never going to happen. It's just more and more and more and more until there's nothing left. This is just fighting, and it ends when one side is no longer able to compete with the other. Like in professional cage fighting and boxing and stuff, they call that like a knockout. You know, you're done. That's how this ends, unfortunately. Thanks to the police, thanks to the military, thanks to the media, thanks to everyone in the political establishment, thanks to every coward in this country and the ones like it around the world who chose themselves, who chose the money and the coins and the things and the stuff and the pension and the paycheck and the bigger pool and all of that. All of you people carry a little bit or a lot of the shared shame and blame for what's coming now that I think is unavoidable. Because of you people, you've ensured that with your selfishness and your cowardice. Just like all the troops in a company, in a platoon, in a battalion, it could have been me, it could have been you. Well, listen, we're all responsible. We all share that. You know, we were all here, we all did it. Just like you guys, right? Y'all work together, you're all in it together, y'all, yeah? Trudeau, one guy, he's an idiot. He's a buffoon. That guy was the prime minister. To my point earlier, if anybody thinks this is something, oh, you can't just, you need to have a career in politics. No, you really don't. You can just be anybody, really, because that's generally who's in there. It's just random retards, mostly selected for family ties, connections, you know, leverage, blah, blah, blah. They're not there. No one is there on merit, I don't think, anymore, anywhere. Not at the highest levels in this country. And all they know how to do is step on the gas. The only way that any of this kind of getting worse, and it's just going to keep getting worse and worse until it can't get worse. And then eventually, you know, it ends because there's nobody left, or there's nothing left, or you know, some variation of that. It's just going to keep getting worse because they don't know how to stop. You would need a mature, responsible, benevolent cadre of people to realize the writing on the wall and see where this is going and go, this is not worth our my career and my pension and my, I'm not going to co-sign and author the destruction of the country because I want to get elected, or I want to make some more money, or I want to work a couple more years so I can retire to Costa Rica. That's fucking crazy. That's evil. I'm not going to be an evil, selfish person. That's what would be required to avoid this. Unfortunately, I don't see anyone in Ottawa or in any of our cities in any authority position anywhere in this country that fits that box. None. None of them have the stones to even face reality. They wouldn't even say a word. Safe and effective. Take this. How many people have been poisoned? How many have been injured? How many have died? Oh, safe and effective. Take this. How many people have been poisoned? How many have been injured? How many have died? You don't know. No one's asking. No one's looking. We're looking at plagiarized work classes. It's ridiculous. No one's flying the plane. No one's driving the boat. Just, you know, you go up to the control room and it's just monkeys in costumes throwing shit at each other, smoking crack. Those ones are having an orgy. That one's eating the console. And then you want to go back downtown and go, I voted for the red monkeys, so I think it's going to be okay. It's not going to be okay. It's not. They're not capable of making it okay. This whole situation is beyond them all. They don't even have the guts to acknowledge that it's reality. They can't even ask the right questions, what the real problems are. How are they going to come up with answers to things they don't even know the questions for? So unfortunately, this is the road we're going down. But on the bright side, this is the road you have to go down to fix this. Kind of like a, you know, like a drug addict or somebody. Somebody has to hit rock bottom. You know, they have to really lose it all and really have nothing left to really realize how badly they fucked up. And that's where we're going. But when that happens, the separation has already been made for the most part. And the kind of future I think we're going into is really going to rely, your success in that is really going to rely on how much of a cohesive, organized group do you have? Because the problems we're going to have are not going to be individual in scale. They're going to require many hands to deal with. These fucking clowns are not capable of dealing. It's all going to go to ribbons in their hands. The police will fall apart. The military doesn't exist. It's all just, it's wet toilet paper in their hands. God, it's falling apart. It's gone. Which leaves all the rest of us to fend for ourselves, which we can do and we will do. And from that effort, under shared, the pressure and the nightmare that it will probably be, will force a lot of people together to work together and do what they have to do to survive. It's always what has happened and will happen. And on the other side of that, is a totally different social order where the people that do sacrifice and do work for others and do the right thing, everybody knows who they are because we need them to live. As evidenced by the previous however many years this nightmare goes on for. No one's going to be sitting around writing stories and poems about how Pierre put his glasses back on and how Mark Carney just seemed like such a steady hand at that podium. No one's going to give a fuck about any of that. Where's the food coming from? Who's watching the street at night? Because it's not safe anymore. The relevance of these people will vanish and disappear into the chaos that they've created. And God willing, they'll find the end that they deserve. But as a consequence, it drives all of the best people that we have left, the brave ones, together. And when all the brave ones are together, the believers, the crusaders, the people that hold on to the very end, that's actually the people who made all of this, everything that we have. That's the kind of people who made it possible and provided it in the first place. And that's where we're going to end up going back to.
I'm a defeated.
Yeah. It's like sometimes you need a good kick in the ass. to perform, to do the things that you should have been doing. And it sucks and it's painful, but you start to get the hang of it. And then you're like, you know what? In the end, I'm glad. I'm glad for that kick in the ass because it made me or us or whoever able to achieve a much more positive and influential and powerful and meaningful existence. Had it not been for that kick in the ass. You see what I mean? So yeah, it'll suck. It'll suck like doing push-ups suck, but then you have a chest like this, and then... It's good for you. I missed a lot of these chats on Entropy and on Rumble, but I'm starving to death. I need to go eat. I'm gonna die. I love you guys. Thank you very much. Albert McGuffin, Epoxy Bear 613 Guy, Jenstein, and more Jenstein. Brian, Justice for Fathers. Scarecrow. I'm not recognizing CRJ anymore. Dirtbag Welder, My Blown Out Hog. Steagle. I think that's all the rest of you guys. Sorry, I appreciate you guys. Thank you very much. RagingDistant.com or JeremyMcKenzie.ca is the links to all of my stuff and things that I'm still allowed to use. YouTube isn't one of them, apparently. Hopefully this movie's coming, and it's probably going to ruin my life. But it's already pretty ruined, so it's like... Who cares? Nobody's of a kid. Thank you very much, guys. I'll see you again on Friday. I hope. I'm going to go find out where Darren Fisher is right now and start wearing an elaborate costume as an old lady, but with one of these giant dildos in my pants, so no one's really... I think I'm a they-them grandma, a grand-them, and he won't know what to do. It'll be unsettling. It's going to be a great side quest. Watch out for that, Darren. Dangle on Scarecrow's operation. 5'6" man, let dong waffen. Engage. 6 Patriotis, Pro Patria.
Stay on the beach.
Phil, why are we out here? I don't like fields, especially at night. Because when you take... Oh, it's always terrifying. I don't want to see this... What is that? Phil, where'd you... This is how he kills me, isn't it? This isn't funny. I'm just surrounded. There's so many characters... These scarecrow... They're all exactly as I described. They're all 5'6", and they all... I'm not checking the... Phil, what? What are you doing? I don't know where he is. Oh, great. I'm gonna get wet now, too. Are you sacrificing me, or are you just fucking with me again? Alright, well, You have fun out here in the dark, walking around whistling like an axe murderer with your creepy army of... Did Nigel make these? I'm going away now.
Yeah, no, I'm walking away from the creepy... Yeah, no, absolutely. Stay out here if you want. I can hear your hooves following me. Don't follow me. Morgan, get me out of here. Where's the car?